The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Gulped down her breakfast, shut the fridge and joined the throng. Margaret Beatty snatched the milk and scanned the news and went along. Annie Harris drew the curtains, screwed her eyes up, had a beep. Saw the marchers, heard their voices making early morning noises. Stumbled back to bed and tried to sleep. Come with us, run with us. We're gonna change the world. You'll be amazed, so full of praise. When we've rearranged your world, we're gonna change your world. Shuffling through the cold black morning went the marchers, spirits low. Grunting greetings, grimly pressing on to where they had to go. When the sun came up, they brightened, stopped to have their thermos brew. Annie Harris got up gladly, pondered for a little sadly. Then got on with what she had to do. So come with us, run with us. We're gonna change the world. You'll be amazed, so full of praise. When we've rearranged your world, we're gonna change. Target numbers swollen, up the marchers' banners go. Chanting, shouting out with leaflets, protest for everyone to know. Sit in front of all the traffic, Harry busy shopping wives. Try to stir their ostrich notions, whip them up to wild emotions. Put some fire into their wretched lives. So come with us, run with us. We're gonna change the world, you'll be amazed, so full of praise. When we've rearranged your world, we're gonna change your world. Shirley Wood was dragged, still sitting by a policeman from the road. Margaret Beatty had her face slapped by a man she tried to goad. Annie Harris in the office paused in typing, thought of Don, glanced again at his last letter, died for others to live better, brushed away a tear and carried on. Come with us, run with us, we're gonna change the world, you'll be amazed, so full of praise. When we rearrange your world, we're gonna change. Come with us, run with us, we're gonna change the world, you'll be amazed, so full of praise. When we rearrange your world, we're gonna change. So come with us, run with us. We're gonna change the world, we'll be amazed.
That's enough of that. I was gonna do a karaoke version, but I could not find a karaoke version of what is, let's be honest, the greatest middle-of-the-road song about protests.
Which is a damn shame for all of us.
It's a damn shame for everybody. There's over 700 people watching us on Periscope wanting to see if I'm going to cry like a baby or have a breakdown on the air. Well, who knows, guys, but I do know that a lot of you will be listening for the first time thinking, wow, this, let's have a listen to this. Oh, it's rubbish. So let's get that clear now. A lot of you will be thinking, this is absolute tosh. I can see why he wound up the sports people.
When's he going to eat a fanny again?
well, Catherine, funny you should mention that, because...
They're pigs.
Well, again, Catherine, funny you should mention that. Now, it's derogatory and misogynistic, yeah. And that's not what this show is about.
6 minutes in.
Good evening, dear listener. My name is Ian Lee. That is Catherine Boyle. She's my producer, but she's so much more than that. She's also an irritant. Now, you are listening to The Late Night Alternative with me, Ian Lee, on Talk Radio. Lots of new listeners. I wonder why. All I was doing was writing a book. If you want to take part in the show, the nearly 900 people on Periscope. If you want to take part in the show, it's very, very simple. You pick up the telephone and you dial 0344 499 1000. 0344 499 1000. Thank you for the approving look, Catherine, as I remembered it.
Well, you're doing really well.
It's on a screen in front of
me. Oh, OK.
It will cost you pennies, probably free for most of you. And here's the thing, guys. We call you back. This call is on our dime. We call you back straight away. You can also, but I've not set it up yet, so I'll have to do that during the break. You can also Skype in, but you can't do it right now, I'm afraid. The Skype is a late night alternative. For those of you who are new to the show, thank you so much. There's 1,000 people watching on Periscope, dear God. For those of you who are new to the show and you're waiting for the question, you're waiting for the hook, you're waiting for the agenda, there is none. We simply are. Well, I'm standing at the moment because I'm full of joie de vivre. Catherine is sat because she's old.
And I've been here all the time you were off swanning around a jungle.
I was in Wales writing a book. And there is no agenda, there is nothing. We just stand and sit and we talk about things, and I've got some silly things I want to talk about. And you might have some silly things you want to talk about. Let me just say, though, for those of you who don't know, I was on I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. I'm not going to bang on about it, OK? Because I think that would be slightly dull for me to go, well, and on day two in the jungle. So I'm not going to bang on about it. I'll probably mention it from time to time because it has been such a strange, insane, surreal experience. The last 5 weeks, I only got back on Sunday, yesterday. The last 5 weeks have been weird and unlike anything I've ever experienced. But I'm not going to bang on about it, but it has been my point of reference for the last 5 weeks. However, you can phone me up and you can ask me anything you want about it, OK? You can ask me anything you want. The only thing I won't reveal is my fee. Let's just say it was very nice. Thank you very much indeed. But you can ask me anything you want. 0344 499 1000 is the telephone number if you want to give us a call. Loads of calls. Let's go to Andy. Good evening, Andy. Good evening, Andy. Is the fader up for Andy? Andy? Why can't... There we go. First day back. Why can't we hear Andy? Let's try... hang on. Is Andy for us? Maybe Andy isn't for us. Let's try this one. Good evening, David. Nope. Do you want to go out there and help?
Yeah.
There we go. There we go. So we're in, guys. We're in. And already it's not working. Happy days. This is kind of how the show generally works. It normally takes me about a week after being away to get up to speed. So if you're expecting professionalism, if you're expecting skills, you ain't going to get none of those things. It's a slapdash, merry affair where literally anything can happen. One thing I do want to ask you, while I was away, and I haven't really caught up on the news and stuff, who's died? Who died when I was away? Just as I was, a couple of days before I went in, what's his name? Charles Manson, and he said Dave Mason. Dave Mason's not dead, is he? Charles Manson died, we know that. The day before I went into the jungle, and I didn't have computers or a phone for 2 weeks I was in Australia, David Cassidy died. And you know that on this show, we love David Cassidy. This is David Cassidy friendly zone. And he died, and I was gutted. And when I know that Rodney Bewes of the Likely Lads also died. So if you could fill in who has died. Bill, you there? Who has died? And Bill, are you there now?
I'm there, mate. I hear the speaker.
I hear the crackle of a phone line. Bill, what I want to know is who has died and who has been outed as a predatory groper.
Well,
but maybe the second one, perhaps you shouldn't be answering because you could get us into a legal minefield. But I have seen there's been a lot about Dustin Hoffman. Oh dear.
Oh, yeah, don't worry. I won't go into details, mate.
No, I don't want details, no. Just
I'll tell you what, mate. Congratulations. Yeah. You saved that show.
Well...
Honest to God, well. I didn't even know you... My mum told me you was going in because I was kind of just watching it.
Yes.
And then she said, oh, that guy you like on the radio, Ian Lee's going in. So I was like, oh, I'm going to stick with it.
Yeah.
And you absolutely turned it round and you, oh, mate, you and Amir in the strawberries, mate. Well, that was the funniest one ever.
Mate, thank you. It was very strange. Here's the thing, right? I've not read any of the papers about it. I've not seen much of the footage.
You've not seen nothing back?
I tell you, all I've seen all the trials because I wanted to feel like a hero.
Oh, and you've done brilliant.
I watched the eating of the strawberries and the telling them that they'd got the answer wrong. I've not watched the confession, but the eating of the strawberries made me laugh out loud. And then the bit where we're sat in the Bush Telegraph and I say, we've got to go and tell them, it is the tensest bit of television I have ever seen. And I did it. I made it happen.
No, you've done blinding the trials, everything.
Thank you, mate.
You should be really proud of yourself.
Do you know what I am? I really am proud. And what makes me the proudest is when I came home, my boys showed me a little video that they'd made themselves where their mum was cooking. Stereotypes, but that was what was going on. It's a fact. They've got a little camera and they'd made a 6-minute film of my eldest being Anton Deck with an American accent, and my youngest doing a trial with his swimming goggles on. And so they filmed that, and then they filmed scores coming in and Stanley getting evicted. And that, to me, Bill, I thought, my boys have got it. And they now, and apparently everyone in the playground was talking about it. Their teachers were, because they didn't watch all the show. They've just seen the trials. The teachers were talking about it. And they, you know, for the next 2 or 3 days, I'm a hero in their eyes. Bill, and if it means eating a pig's vagina, as my boy calls it, to become a hero figure, then goddamn it, that's what I do.
How you done it? How did you do it?
Can I let you into a secret?
Go on.
The eating trial wasn't that bad. I was kind of hamming it up a bit, hamming it up.
Literally.
It wasn't that bad. The tastes weren't that bad. What it was the texture, right? The pig's fanny was fine. It was not a problem at all. It was tiny.
Gosh. Oh.
Did you eat the ball?
Did I what?
The test was it you who had the one where you had to eat the testicle when it was?
We had a couple of testicles in my mouth. one was bull's testicles that I had to pass to Stanley via the method of a French kiss, and the other were turkey balls.
That's the one.
Yeah.
The turkey balls.
The balls
that's
are
what
fine.
Yeah,
I tell you, the worst one was the camel's brain. And when I think of it, I can still feel it, something rising in my chest. That was thoroughly unpleasant.
Oh, my God. Honest to God, though, it was such a good show.
Bill, we've got loads of new listeners. We've got 1,500 people watching on Periscope. A lot of them won't know who you are and what you're famous for. Could you please sum up my jungle experience using song?
Oh, yeah. Ian Lee, he went into the jungle. He was like a flaming mongrel when he said they all look rough. Then they started acting tough, and then he showed he was the real tough one, and he passed all the trials. And he done it for the camp, but he's not camp, and Keith Chegwin died.
Oh, Cheggers died as well, Bill.
Yes.
Thank you very much indeed.
I'm upset about that.
Yeah, me too. I like Cheggers. Thank you, Bill. I like Cheggers. Always very, very nice to me. We're compiling a list of people who've died in the last 5 weeks because I missed it. Cheggers, 60.
Sad.
Same lung condition that Katie Price's mum has got.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, apparently they got him and Katie Price got very close. Someone was telling me, I don't know how accurate this is, he was kind of helping her get through the process, because her mum's dying of this exactly the same thing, and he was helping her get through the process of that. Cheggers. And I know a lot of people didn't like Cheggers. I liked him. I worked with him a couple of times. We were the two racists on Pointless, if you remember. And he was always very, very nice to me. And occasionally, the last time I saw him was at the Office, the premiere of the terrible Office movie. And I went up to him, and he was lovely. He always got time. So that's really sad. Poor old Cheggers. Right, we've got loads of calls. 0344 499 1000. Skype is up and running. Late night alternative. If it rings through and I don't answer, it just means I'm on a call on Skype. So I'll call you back a few minutes later. We're all groovy. This is the Late Night Alternative with me, Ian Lee, and her, Catherine Boyle, on Talk Radio.
The wild man of late night radio.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
We'll have a little stab there after the adverts. Don't worry, it's fine. It's all groovy. You know, when I come back after 2 weeks away, it takes me a week to get back in the New York groove.
A week plus, I'd say.
Well, okay, that's rude. I'm still not making the comeback from when I left the BBC. But being away for 5 weeks, 5 weeks where I went, let's be honest, I went nuts. Mm-hmm. You could not go not nuts. So it'll be a ramshackle show, but please join in. Oh, after midnight, we've got a very special guest. Remember we had the guy on whose dad had got the message from the aliens in the desert?
The new message from God?
Yes, that's it. Well, we've got the dad coming on after midnight, and his son was so delightful and so polite and so wonderful, and we kind of thought, oh, let's get him on and we'll have a good old laugh at this. But he was so charming, wasn't he? He was so charming.
Well, because it was all peace and love. It's stuff that we can all aspire to, isn't it, surely?
Yeah, exactly. He's coming on after midnight.
Yeah.
And he was a nice guy, so I'm really looking forward to talking to his dad. Really looking forward to it. So we're going to have that. So many calls. Let's try Angela. Good evening, Angela.
Good evening, Ian. Catherine.
Are you putting on your posh voice?
She is. She's doing
her posh voice.
Hello, Ian.
Anyway, glad you had a bit back.
It's good to be back. I only got back yesterday. I'm absolutely out of it. Do you still get heavy breathing phone calls? Because they were big in the 70s and 80s. But do you still... Because you could dial up a random number and just go...
Could you?
I'm saying you could now. You could do it now.
Oh.
I'm tempted to phone up a random number and do a heavy breathing. How much trouble will we get into?
A lot.
Hang on a minute.
Things have moved on now. People send the pictures of the privates, don't they?
I suppose so.
Don't do that at home.
No, don't. Oh, God, no, please.
Don't do it out.
Okay.
Don't do it.
I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll stay there, Angela. We're going to do a heavy breathing phone call. Right, zero. We'll do it in another country so we don't get in trouble. 0011. That's America, isn't it?
Oh, God, who are we ringing?
Hang on a minute. We're going to do a heavy breathing phone call. Let's audition for this. See who's got the best heavy breathing, OK? So this is mine. Kath, you do yours. Angela, try yours. Oh, no, you sound like an asthmatic who's dying. Kath, it's you.
I don't want to do it.
You're doing it.
No, I'm supposed to be the one who's in charge.
No. Yeah, so don't say anything. It's McDonald's in New York. They won't know.
No.
Just do it.
I'm not doing it.
Do it.
No.
Oh, lucky for you, it didn't... what did I dial wrong there?
I'm not going to be a McPervert.
0011. That's America, isn't it?
001.
When I just said 0011, you went yes.
I meant no.
001. 212. Stay there, Angela.
No worries.
Okay. All right, you ready, Kath?
I'm not doing it.
Do it.
No.
Just do it.
No.
He's an insane clown. He won't mind.
He will.
All right, you Angela, you do it. When they answer, do heavy breathing.
Hello, McDonald's. How can I help you? Hello?
There you go. That's the correct response.
There we go. He hung up. All right, fair enough. Fair play.
Good.
Okay, good for him.
I mean, in the current climate.
But he hung up quickly, which makes me think that guy gets lots of heavy breathers because he knew what to do.
Well, people are out of shape over there. Sometimes they're ringing up for takeout.
I want a load of McDonald's. I want a load of burgers.
I want to go large.
Angela, what can we do for you on this fine evening where we've already broken three laws?
I just wanted to say, the jungle is very entertaining, especially the strawberry one.
You bumlick. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yep.
The strawberry one.
Can I just say, those were the most delicious strawberries in the world, and I would do it again at a moment's notice.
Forbidden fruit.
They were wonderful. They were wonderful, and that cream was so fresh. And I would do it again at the drop of a hat.
As for them saying, oh, but it took it out of the mouths of the girls, we weren't worried, it was for the girls. One strawberry each is not going to get rid of the shakes.
I did the math. It was literally one strawberry each. Get over you. In fact, if I'd have given you those strawberries, you'd have had like a sugar rush that would have been even worse. You'd have come crashing down the other side.
You did them a favour.
I did those guys a favour.
Sometimes the taste is worse than none at all.
Mm-mm-mm. Yes, it meant being ostracised by everyone and bullied for 5 or 6 days, but I would say those strawberries were so good. So good. Angela, thank you very much indeed. 03444991000 is the phone number. It doesn't have to be about the jungle all night if you don't want. But if you want to call in and ask about it, because I understand that to some people it's fascinating, flicking through the papers trying to find stories tonight, and I get mentioned in a couple of stories in the papers, and Rebecca does, and it's weird for me, because I've not read any of the papers, not seen any of the footage back, hardly any. It's weird for me seeing my name, you know, bandied around in tabloid newspapers.
I've made you a cuttings book. Here's what I think.
Yeah.
You don't want to see it for a bit.
Burn it. I don't want to see it for a bit. I do. It's weird as well because I've, you know, my when I was.
By the way, I'm not burning it. That took me ages.
When I was famous, it was for a very short period and it was very very low level. Okay. So I think I was in the papers twice. Once because I had a stalker and once because I gave a girl my phone number when I was going out with someone and that was silly. But the press, the journalists knocked on my front door while I was away. They knocked on my mother-in-law's door. It's weird being at the centre of this kind of weird. It will end. I tell you, by the end of January, middle of February, everything will be back to normal, and that'll be fine. Maybe even earlier. But it's weird being here. And also, I'm on Loose Women this Thursday. I'm on Loose Women. Me on Loose Women. And then I'm going to be the showbiz reporter for 2 weeks on GMTV, replacing Richard Arnold. It's unbelievable.
What the hell is going on?
The world has gone nuts. That's what we need. Good old. I was talking about this guy in the camp, and people were horrid. I was trying to describe what my show was like to people, right? And I said, well, you know, it's kind of a bit psychedelic, esoteric. It's, we don't...
Already you've lost half of
them. Yeah, well, exactly. We don't concentrate on, like, Muslim Trumps and Brexit, Trump and Brexit. We kind of avoid that, and we just let people come on. And they said, well, give us an example of who calls in. I said, well, we've got this guy that we call Racist Jonathan.
Oh, God!
And I realised that was not the best call to start off with, because I think it turned off a lot of people. But he's here. Good evening, Jonathan.
Evening, Ian.
Good evening, Jonathan. What have you got for us?
People who've died.
Hmm. Go on then. So far, we've got Cheggers, we've got Rodney Bewes, we've got Charlie... Right, we're dumping that. You can't... Come on now. That's a spoiler alert, guys. That's a spoiler alert. Sorry, guys, on Periscope. You see? He's spoilt the movie. He's not spoiled it. I kind of guessed that.
I'll give you someone else.
Yeah.
Johnny Hallyday. The French Elvis.
Shut up! No!
Oui.
No!
Oui.
No!
Oui, c'est passé. Il est mort.
Où est le mort?
Il est mort. Il y a deux ou trois jours.
Combien le mot?
Combien?
Combien le nom-mot? Combien la nom-mot? Combien le nom-mot? Passé, j'en ai à l'idée, où est le passé? Combien?
La semaine passée.
Sur la table?
Johnny Hallyday, je ne sais pas.
Johnny Hallyday, il mord sur la table.
Non, dans le lit.
Ouais, dans le lit.
Je crois.
Non.
Il était malade.
Pourquoi?
Parce qu'il fumait trop.
Oh.
Comme beaucoup de Français.
Non fumier.
Non
fumier.
Faut pas fumer.
Non. La fumier pour la Johnny Hallyday, il mord.
Oui, c'est très mal.
Well, that's really sad.
Yeah, really.
That's really, really sad. I'm disappointed by that. Let's go to Paul. Good evening, Paul.
Hey, Ian, you're all right?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you, mate. What you got for us?
Where can I get one of those Anton Date fan club T-shirts?
I've got one. They gave me one. they gave me one. It's funny, because you'd say stuff in there, like throwaway lines, and then you'd come out and realise that the throwaway lines were the things... That they
the
picked up on.
Remember.
The one that surprised me, right, was when I had to do the Temple of Doom challenge, the underwater one I couldn't do.
Yeah.
And Amir said, Temple of Glue? What, they stick things on you?
Yes.
And we just went, no, Temple of Gloom. Oh, okay, fine. And then I came out and I saw that Temple of Glue had become a thing and they'd made a game,
yeah.
And they played it and it was insane. These literally, the 30 seconds of the day could become a feature.
You know what I've got on the back of my Team Ian T-shirt?
I do actually, but then you're that kind of girl.
What?
Sorry.
Them's the rules.
Yay. Who said that?
You did.
When?
It's pretty simple. Them's the rules.
Oh, was that when I was arguing with Stanley?
It's when you were telling them all off for cooking and doing things they shouldn't have been doing.
Okay, yeah, well, I don't... Yeah.
That was early doors.
Listen, I suggest you approach my good friend Scott Balcony and get him to make some hooky T-shirts. He'll do it for you.
I'll admit I wasn't going to watch this year because the lineup looked shit.
I couldn't possibly comment, but...
When I heard you were going in, I thought, right...
Now it looks double shit.
I've voted every time for you to stay because I wanted you to win it.
Mate, thank you. Do you know the percentage difference between third place, which is what I came, and second place?
I know it wasn't much.
0.09%.
Yeah.
Imagine that close between third and second place.
So who didn't vote?
If you didn't vote, call in and I'll tell you off live on air. Well, thank you for that, mate. I appreciate it. I'm genuinely humbled. That's 9 million votes in the last show. In the final episode, 9 million votes. Isn't that nuts? Thank you, Paul. I'm humbled that people would bother to pick up the phone and vote for me. So thank you, mate.
You're welcome, mate.
Cheers, Paul. Ta-ta. 03444991000. I suspect that it's going to be quite... jungle heavy tonight, but that's fine. I can dig that. Hello, caller on Skype.
Oh, hello.
Hang on one second. I need to just do that. Yes, hello.
Hello, how's your day, Ian?
My day's going very well. How's yours?
Right.
Those kids again. This is the problem with the Skype, you see. So apologies to anyone who heard that. If you're listening on Periscope, you get all of the stuff that is unbroadcastable. You won't have heard that at home, but just in case there was a problem with the dump button, as there often is, we don't encourage bad language on this show. We certainly don't encourage racial animosity or hatred of any kind. And that's what we got from that young girl there. And shame on her. Normally it's boys that do it.
Sure it was a girl?
Yeah. So if anyone heard that, sincerest apologies. Let's go to got loads of calls. Let's go to Bob. Good evening, Bob. Hello, Bob.
Hello.
Hello, mate. How you doing?
I'm not too bad. How you doing?
I've got a bit of a headache, but apart from that, I'm tickety to it. It's good to be back in my day job. It's good. And by the way, everyone on Twitter, I had, when I went in the jungle, 51,000 followers. When I came out, 81,000 followers. Now, 103,000 followers.
And you didn't buy any of them.
Well, but for everyone saying, oh, now maybe Ian can get promoted to a better slot. Oh, no. This is and always has been, for me, the dream slot. And that's not me, you know, being humble. 10 till 1 at night, sometimes later if the show's going well, 10 till 1 at night is the dream slot for me. So
the one we
you.
Asked for.
Yeah. So, anyway, go on, Bob. Yeah, we got.
Oh, well, I was only calling to see, you know, you've done really well in the jungle. I'm not going to bang on about that. But you're getting a bit bigger. You're going to be on TV.
Oh yes.
So if you like end up being like a host on Loose Women, I know that's not really
anything's possible.
Is the rabbit hole still going to continue?
Oh, the rabbit hole. For those who don't know, is a podcast that Catherine and I do. Catherine, could you explain the format of the rabbit hole, please?
Not really.
Oh.
It's two people talking balls, and you can join in either on Periscope.
Yep.
You can Skype, or you can come along in person and say it to our faces.
So it's a phone-in show, but we do it in front of an audience,
yeah.
And then we edit it down. Kath edits it down to three or four podcasts, and we put them out. You can find it on iTunes, usual podcast providers. And yes, no, it's happening, Bob. We're going to book some more dates in, but we've got a nice little tour coming up with Dublin in January and Belfast in January. And there's also Bath, Luton is sold out, and there's London, and London is almost sold out. And there might be one more.
Brighton
is all, I think Brighton may have sold out. And if you want to see the dates and the get tickets, ianlee.com/events. Go there.
But if you can't come, you can watch on Periscope. Just
keep
an eye on our
Twitters.
Yeah,
we'll think less of you.
We will.
But if you're in London, why don't you try and come and do a show in Peckham?
Well, what venues have you got in Peckham?
Well, there's plenty of pubs, gastro bars.
Hang on a minute. If we're in London, why don't you come and see a show in North London?
Oh, I will, but it's going the other side of the river. I'd rather you come to my side of the river.
Oh, should we come round to your house? That'd be more convenient.
Hey, Bob, here's an idea. Should we come round to your...
Idea.
Hang on a minute. This is actually a great idea. Bob, can me and Catherine come round to your house and do a rabbit hole?
Of course you can.
All right, and here's the thing. Right. You can bring friends, obviously. It's your house. But we are. Would you be okay with us selling 10 tickets for random? Would you?
Well, I would be, but at the moment, I've got a newborn baby.
Here we go.
Newborn baby.
But who can be part of the show? I'm actually trying to wind him as we speak.
Oh mate, I am the best baby winder. I am the best. I was always the best because I would do it the best method, not over the shoulder, over the knee. You rock them back and forth over the knee.
Over the forearm.
Yeah.
We tried that one.
He's over my knee right now.
And here's the thing. I would. You get a big burp and my wife would go, all right, give him back. I say, no. I can feel one more in there.
Yeah, I was the master.
Bob, listen, I'm not going to put you on the spot, but send me an email, ian@ianlee.com, and if you're seriously up for it, we'll come and record a rabbit hole at your house.
Brilliant. Okay.
All right, nice one, mate.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. There we go.
It just goes to show, careful what you wish for.
we'll sell tickets to Bob's house. This is brilliant, isn't it? This is brilliant. We're going to sell 10 tickets, 10 Willy Wonka golden tickets to Bob's house. This is amazing.
That'd be so good.
That's what we're going to do. We've got ages to go, yeah. 0344 499 1000. We've got Darren, Claire, Gary, Babcock, Caddick and John and Luke as well, I can see. So it's a busy old night. But call up. We call you straight back, or we might call you back a little bit later if there's a big old queue. But we'll call you back. You can come on and talk about anything. It doesn't have to be all about the jungle, but I understand why there might be a certain fascination. Things I want to know is who has died. And this has got to be, but slight tangent, this has got to be the least prepared I've ever been for any Christmas in terms of buying stuff and feeling it. 0344 499 1000, the late night alternative with me, Ian Lee. Her Catherine Boyle, only on Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
03444991000 is the telephone number. Loads of calls. Where was that one? Let's go to John. Good evening, John.
Hello.
Hello, John. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm not too bad. How are you?
I'm all right. I've got a bit of a headache, mate. I only got back home yesterday morning. I've got a headache and I'm a bit wired. But apart from that, I am groovy. It's good to be back at work.
That is good, and it's been an amazing couple of weeks as a sort of a long time on and off listener. It's been amazing.
Oh, well, thank you, man. I hope you enjoyed it, because
I think the biggest thing has been in terms of you. You basically, I don't know if you quite realise, but essentially you were the glue to that show because.
Go on. Say that again. Your phone went. Like, did you just go underwater or something?
Wow, you'd know all about that, but...
well, I wouldn't, apparently.
Basically, you were the glue to the show, because the bits when you were in the... talking to the camera in the diary room, can't remember the name of it.
Oh, yeah, the Bush Telegraph, yeah.
Yeah, the Telegraph. Essentially, those bits were basically the glue to the show, so, like... Your links to the camera, I don't know if you realise, but essentially it was your show.
I didn't...
You were gluing the show together, and whenever you were doing those bits to the camera... Like when you were the Prime Minister, basically, yes. You were just doing your radio show.
Yeah, the bits where I had a microphone stuck in front of me, so when I was the Prime Minister, I'd love going in the Bush Telegraph to talk, because they just let you talk for ages. But there was once when one of the producers said, Ian, can you just hurry this up, please? It's really late. I was like, oh, I'm so sorry! But I would just go in there and talk, you know, and talk for ages. Well,
that's kind of when we saw the real Ian. Yeah. We saw the real Ian.
Yeah. Here's the weird thing as well, because I've not watched it back, and I probably won't, but I remember thinking, I wonder if I'm even in this show. This was one of the things I was going to ask you, Kath, was I in it much?
Ask me that, and I had to stifle a coughing fit at that point.
I think we probably heard more of Ian Lee than anyone else on that show, that's the thing.
Good, that'll
really,
learn.
You performed poorly because you didn't come second.
Listen, I am so thrilled with third. I could not believe it. To get to that final, it was... Because I wanted to go out first, and then I thought... Well, Chappie went, I was surprised. I thought, all right, well, that's because I've got immunity, so I'll go out second. Then Kez went. I thought, all right, well, okay, I'll be third. And when Becky went out, I thought, oh, hang on a minute. Something has shifted here. This isn't quite working out how I thought. And at that point, once the fourth person went, I kind of thought, oh... I wouldn't mind getting to the final five now. I was kind of keen for that. But I nearly walked out of it twice. There was twice. I went in and said, I can't do it. I'm going home. And they taught me off the ledge.
Rubbish about you playing a game, though.
I know.
It's like you were just in there. You were just yourself. I mean, I was.
Seemed
to be the stupid people in there.
I'm not going to say they were stupid, but there was one person who was definitely thick. There was no game playing at all. It's just we were very. I think it's like this kind of laddish jock sports personality versus this kind of geeky, you know, book reading, slightly weird, lonely guy. So there was no gameplay as far as I was concerned. I had fun, and some of the, you know, when we went out and we were interviewed in front of a camera and there was someone holding that camera, which didn't happen very often, I'd start showing off. And when you're there with Ant and Dec, you can't help but see if you can make them laugh. I thought that was the highlight of my week, going and seeing Ant and Dec and making them laugh.
I think they really liked you, Ant and Dec, didn't they? Let's face it.
Well, I just think they could both pay off my mortgage at the drop of a hat.
I think you alluded to an incident with Jamie the other week that didn't get aired.
There was a couple of bits with a couple of people. Dennis Wise took me to one side and said, I've spoken to Amir about the strawberries. He told me it was 50-50, but I know it was all you. And I was like, wow. And then there was a bit after I'd found out I got immunity, and Beck said, oh, you're a game player. That's when the first game... And then I was doing something with the fire, and Jamie went, yeah. And you were spying on me, listening to me inside the Bush Telegraph. There are two Bush Telegraphs.
Why don't you think that was aired? Do you think that's because the producers didn't want to...
I don't know. Maybe they didn't pick up on it. I don't know, but what happened was, as I left Bush, BT2 as we called it, and I was excited because I got immunity, and I sort of punched the air, he came out of his BT and thought I'd been listening, and I was devastated, because when you go in there it's private, except for the 12 million viewers, and he said, yeah, you're spying on me, and I thought he was joking, so I laughed, and then I went, oh, well, hang on, you mean that, don't you? So I just went and sat on my hammock for a bit until he came over and apologised, because I wasn't doing
it. Do you think the reason they didn't show that is because it was kind of more of a...
production thing in terms of they didn't want
who knows people. You know, who knows what they picked and what they didn't pick and the reasons for it. I have no idea.
And one last question. Are you sad that you didn't get to meet Jack Maynard?
Who's Jack Maynard?
He was in. Do you not know? Do you really not know?
Oh, he was the lad that got kicked out. I'm not sad that I didn't get to meet him. I thought it was sad that he went. And because here's the thing: no one in the camp knew why he'd gone. They thought he'd had enough and walked out. Mm. And it wasn't until Kez came in and said, because she'd read the papers and I wasn't allowed to read papers or anything. She said, "Oh no, there was something to do with Twitter." And that's why he got taken out. So, no, but I was worried
stupid
for him.
Tweets when he was doing younger, basically.
Yeah, I was worried for him because he's a young lad, but he seems okay. So that's fine. Yeah. Good for him.
Okay.
John, thank you very much, mate. 03444991000. Doesn't have to all be about this, guys. And I know that some of you on Periscope, stop talking about it. We'll talk about other stuff. But if you want to call in and ask questions, you can do. You can ask me anything except the fee. You can ask me the fee. I'm not going to tell you. But anything else I'm trying to think of a way to end that sentence. I can't, so we'll just leave it hanging. 03444991000, The Late Night Alternative with me, Ian Lee, on Talk Radio.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.
You can call in about absolutely anything you want. And one of the things I did in there was play really dumb games because it was boring. All the talk was about food because everyone was hungry and we just play word games. I tried to get a game of tag going. I tried
did
to,
you?
Yeah, I did. I tried to get a game of tag, and it was me, Amir, Jamie, and Dennis, and they were off to do a workout. They kept inviting me to their workouts. I couldn't think of anything worse. And I said, "No, does anyone fancy a game of tag?
Huh?
Tag? You know, I just where we could have a quick run around." And Amir was up for it, of course.
Of course he was.
But then it didn't happen, and I didn't want to push it again. But that would have been great. But we do word games. And most of them are rubbish, except the ones I came up with. So, here's a game. This is a game I made up. Famous Susans. I'll go first. Sarandon.
Susan. Boyle.
Okay. Gary?
Yes?
Gatford? Sorry, I do apologise.
B. Anthony.
Who?
Susan B. Anthony.
Who's that?
It's a writer in America.
Okay. David Badcock?
Hello?
Yeah, we're playing Famous Susans. It's a tough game.
Susan from Neighbours. Susan from Neighbours.
Who was Susan from Neighbours?
Who's she? Kennedy.
Well, okay. Do we? Here's the thing. I don't think we allow characters.
No.
So you're out. Susan Day, who played David Cassidy's sister in The Partridge Family.
Susan George, was she one?
Yep. Well, yeah, she was. Gafford?
Are you allowing Suzanne's?
No, but no, mate, it's Famous Susan's. No.
Okay. Susan McKenzie.
And just tell us who Susan McKenzie is?
Kelvin's sister.
Right, you're out. And that's it, and the game over. All right, I'll tell you what, we'll play a quick round of, and this is a good one, Famous Nicks. I'll go first. Ross.
Knowles.
Gafford.
Nolte.
Yep. Oh. David?
Nick. Bill Cannon.
Nick Buchanan. Who's that?
He discovered penicillin.
Shut up.
Did he?
That was Louis Pasteur, wasn't it? No, not Nick Buchanan. Sorry. Okay, so it's my turn. Famous Nicks. Nick Ross. No, I said that. Nick Owen, I meant. Nick Owen.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Nick Cage.
Mm-hmm.
Nick Kershaw.
Oh, yeah.
Hang on, go back one.
No.
Who did you say?
Too late. You went over it.
Okay, Nick, of course it's Nicolas Cage, but we'll allow that.
Nick to his friends.
Nick.
I just thought you were doing the joke that the bloke did. The uncle. Nick.
Yeah. Okay. I'm out. Kath?
Yeah, I'm out.
No, that's it. It's game over.
Nick Olodian.
Who's that?
Oh, God.
It's a TV channel.
All right, here we go. This is a fun game, and there's a time limit on this. We'll do three rounds.
without a time limit, then the 10-second timer comes in, OK? And you'll find the letter most used is the S and the M. We're going to play a game of Adamant, right? So what it is I will say, we start off with Adamant, you always do. This is mine and Jenny's favourite game. And then, Catherine, you would then have to name a group or an act that begins with T. You could say the Beatles, but also you could say the second word could be T. You know what I mean?
Okay. I've got a good one.
I'm going to go first. So first three rounds, not timed, and then we're going to go for the 10-second time, OK? Adamant.
To Pow.
You too.
Hang on. Yeah, OK, yes. I had to do the spellings. David.
Two Unlimited.
Yes.
Dion.
Naina Cherry.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
OK. David?
Sex machine.
That was my nickname at school. Let's assume Sex Machine is a band. All right, so now we're going to have a 10-second timer, OK? So, the Eagles. 1, 2, 3.
Spandau Ballet.
1, 2, 3.
Ting Tings.
1, 2. Cisnes. 3, 4.
Five, six, Smokey Robinson.
7, 1. Neil Diamond. 1, 2, 3.
Dinah Ross.
4. What, S again, you see? It's S's and N's. 4, 5.
St. Etienne.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Nina Cherry.
Ends with an E. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Eraser.
You're out, mate. What was the last one? You're out.
St. Etienne.
Okay. What did you say, Nina Cherry? Dickhead. St. Etienne. Right, okay. 1, 2.
With you.
The Everly Brothers. Oh. 1, 2, 3. And S again, you see, they're all S's.
Spice right. Girls.
1, 2. Double S, you get bonus points there. 1, 2.
Shawaddy Waddy.
1, 2. Why is it difficult? So yellow. 1, 2.
Wham.
No, yellow ends in O. 5, 6, 7.
Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark.
1, 2.
Kiki three, B.
1, 2, 3. Elton John. 1, 2.
Good link.
3, 4.
Nina Simone.
Was, wasn't it? 1, 2.
ELO.
1, 2, 3. The Overtones. 1, 2, 3, 4.
The Buzzcocks.
No, shush.
You're out, you idiot. 1.
Zig Sputnik.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Kraftwerk.
1. Oh, double K, you get double points.
Good one.
The Kinks. 1, 2, 3.
Sinita.
4. 1.
ABC.
1, 2. Celine Dion. 1, 2, 3. 4.
Shush.
5, 6.
Nick Kershaw.
1. We've had him.
Yeah,
7.
Different game.
It was a different
8.
Game, to be fair.
What game?
Knicks.
It was in the Knicks.
All right, yeah, fair play. Okay. Right, go on. 1.
Wet.
1. Two. Oh, by the way, T's can't be the. I got that wrong. You can't say the. Wet. 1, 2, 3. Throwing Muses. 1, 2. That was a good one, wasn't it? 5.
Shalimar.
1, 2.
Radiohead.
1, 2, 3, 4. 5, 6, 7, 8. Doctor and the Medics. 1, 2, 3.
Sister Sledge.
1, 2, 3.
Elkie Brooks.
1, 2, 3. Shania Twain. 1, 2, 3. They're all S's and N's. 6, 7, 8.
7.
9.
Nelly Furtado.
1, 2, 3. Oh. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 10.
OMG.
You're out.
Come on.
Down between me and Kath. What
do the counting?
Nelly Furtado.
1, 2, 3.
Oh, is it difficult?
5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Yeah. Right.
Ollie Murs.
Well done. And that just shows how bored we were. Great game, huh?
How bored are you now?
I could keep going for like hours.
I know, but you're a boring guy. David.
Hello, my sweet brother.
Yeah, Kath is here, yes?
Whoa.
No, you cheeky. Yes. I've missed you.
Okay, have we spoken before?
David, no, come on now, you old timer. David Babcock.
Doesn't ring a bell.
You've not forgotten me now, you're famous, have you?
If you've called before, then you've called before. I'll take your word for it, David. You're the, he's the ersatz psychic, isn't he? That's
yes.
It. Yes. Okay, brilliant.
A paranormal investigator, actually. UK's leading.
Well, let's have a we've got a rundown of all the people that have died in the last 5 weeks. So, we have Manson, Cassidy,
Chegwin,
Cheggers,
Ali Day.
Ali Day.
Oui.
Mais oui. Also, Max Clifford.
And, oh, naughty.
And Buse. Anyone else? You'd know, because you'd have spoken to them, wouldn't you?
Well, do you speak to every living person? No. I've made a song for you.
Okay, great. This is fantastic. Well, where you go? Hey, look at that! Listen, this is incredible. While David is on, we've got exactly 666 viewers on Periscope. That's not even a lie. That is not even a lie. 666. Wow. We dropped from the 1,500 we started with as people realise it was just a sham of a show. But 666, the number of the beast. And you are a beast, aren't you? Not in the spacey kind of way, but you certainly are a beast.
Like a predator.
Like the movie Predator, and I'm not making light of it, so I won't say it.
No.
Like the movie Predator. No. Like the movie Predator versus Alien, which was a bit shit.
It was a bit...
How can Predator and Alien exist in the same universe?
They're not canon, are they?
They're not canon. There's a brilliant fan movie, and it's brilliant. It's going to sound dumb.
Yep.
I think it's called... Let me just... You talk...
This isn't Ninja versus Mafia.
Oh, that's a great movie. No, hang on a minute. I just want to check, because I might have got the thing
wrong. 2, 3, 4.
2, 3, 4 what?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Just sing me a little song.
There's,
No.
Yeah, Batman versus Predator.
What, Batman?
Yeah, and there's a fan movie of it, and it's bloody good. Really good. No. Batman... versus Predator. They exist and they are canon.
Are they?
Yeah, they are.
No, they're not.
I don't think I know what canon is then.
Well, I don't think David does either, because I'm correct.
Right, I've got a lovely song. Bye.
Okay, yeah, sorry, you're still here. Yes. I've missed this job.
Boom, boom. Right.
There you go.
Boom, boom, boom. Ian of the jungle. Watch out for those backstabbing, snidey little cowardly knobheads.
That's a great song, David. Thank you very much indeed.
Not sure it scans, but...
I was worried when he got to the hard sea. Backstabbing, snidey little... I was like, okay, no, fine. So when we get a chance, an out time would be delightful, but there's no rush. I assume we've got another 4 or 5 minutes, so let's go and talk to... let's go and talk to Sheila. Hello, Sheila.
Hiya. Hi, Ian.
How you doing?
I've spoken to you before, actually, and I just wanted to call because a few calls back, you were talking about London and someone was like going over the country to see you.
Yes.
And you
well, hang on. Bob wasn't going over the country. He was travelling from South London to North London.
And moaning about it.
Yeah, it's a tube.
South London, and I understand that. I so understand that.
You know, it's a tube ride with a maximum of 2 changes.
Okay, we don't really have the tube in a lot of South London still.
That's true. We can get a bus to the...
Some of it we do. We're getting it. But I was just going to say...
Or an Uber.
I would love to have you and Cass in my house. Oh. You're most welcome to do your show here.
You sound too keen.
Yeah. Would you let us out again?
would we go into a room and turn the light and it's an Ian and Cath shrine, you mentalist?
Absolutely not. It's going to be me, my flatmate, who is an absolute avid follower of you on Twitter, which I'm not, because I don't really do Twitter, but and my dog. And that'll be it.
Well, here's the thing, but you're in South... How close are you to Peckham?
Not really. I'm nearer to Greenwich.
Okay, but still, it's still, you know, it's still quite near to Peckham. So we're trying this...
The idea was we try and get out of London a bit, that's all.
But, all right.
The border of Kent. How does that fit?
Okay, I tell you what, I am certainly not...
I can walk to Kent from where I am.
Okay, right, okay. I am certainly not against the idea. Send me an email, ian@ianlee.com, and do you know what, we'll probably come and do it. It'll be later next year, maybe sort of May, June time, but we'll come and do it.
Okay, can I add to the, like, famous Nicks? Can I say, obviously, being Christmas time, Saint Nick... And I mention one of my heroes, Nick Berry?
Oh, Sheila, you're great. I really struggle with the Knicks. You're great. Thank you very much for that. Oh, sorry, you were saying something. I still haven't got an out time. Maybe there might be a screen differential. Could you go and sort for me, please, while I speak to Claire? Good evening, Claire. Claire. That's you, Claire.
Oh, hello.
Hello, Claire.
Hi. It's because I'm watching you as well. Can you hear you?
Hello, Claire. I'm waving to you. I'm waving to you.
Oh, yeah. See you now.
Yeah.
I know you didn't want to talk about the show, but I just wanted to say that I love Jonna and you had my votes from the start, totally.
Oh, thank you. Well, thank you very much. Genuinely, I'm humbled that people would vote for little old me. I still haven't got it on my screen, by the way, guys. If you think that problem has been solved, it certainly hasn't. So maybe you want to jot it down on a bit of paper. I still haven't got it. Okay, he's getting there. Oh, there it is. Beautiful. Thank you. Sorry, Claire. Boring technical. When I've been away, I forget how to do a radio show, you see. So I'm going, where's the, isn't there supposed to be a thing? But the thing is there now, so that's good. Well, thank you, Claire. I'm glad you enjoyed it. Thank you very much.
All right. I also want to know, are you doing any shows in Scotland?
No, we aren't, but we are hoping to do one in Glasgow, and someone I need to reply to. And I had 700 emails when I came out, so I couldn't reply to everyone, but someone is helping us source a venue in Glasgow, and I need to send her some potential dates, and we're hoping to do at least one, maybe two shows at the Edinburgh Festival.
All right, OK, yeah, I'm there every year anyway.
So. OK, fine. Well, so that's the plan. And we have sorely neglected Scotland, and that is remiss of us with my Scottish heritage and the fact that just we love Scotland as well. So, no, we will be definitely next year, definitely Glasgow and Edinburgh at some point, and we may even go... I like the idea of going, like, way north to, like, a tiny little village and doing it. Completely impractical and would suck money out of our wallets and purses. But I quite like the idea of doing that in a little village where nobody knows us. That would be fun.
It's great up north. I've been there a lot.
Oh, it's stunning. It's stunning. It's, you know, it's some of the best scenery in the world. So, yes, Claire, we will do.
I also wanted to ask, like... What did you miss most about home, apart from obviously your kids?
Apart from obviously the kids, I missed cheese and pickle sandwiches. I missed the freedom to do what I wanted to do when I wanted to do it. I tell you what I really missed, actually. I missed being able to go and be on my own somewhere. There was the only place you could be on your own was in the Dunny, which was disgusting, but you still had to wear your microphone. So if I was going to say something really crude, okay, print this Daily Mirror. I did a number two for the whole 20 days I was in there. Five times, because you just get constipated with the rice and beans. So you would quite often, I'm sorry, Claire, but you did bring this up, you quite often have to really squeeze one out. But you're wearing a microphone. So I would put my hand around the microphone and, you know, and then I mentioned it to someone at the rap party and they said, oh, yeah, no, covering the microphone like that doesn't work. You can still
be...
Switch
it off?
No, you can't switch it off. You're not allowed to take it off, although some people did. Stanley was always forgetting to put his back on. And you'd always hear, there were speakers in the trees, the voice of God. Stanley, put your microphone back on, please. But I missed having somewhere where you could just go and... There were a couple of times I just wanted to cry, right? And there was nowhere to go and do it on your own, so I had to do it in front of a camera, which was weird. So, yeah, being able to go and sit on my own without being watched or listened to is what I missed the most.
That's not really the answer I was expecting.
What was the answer? What was the answer you were expecting?
I don't know. I'd probably just your kids, family, maybe food.
Hang on, you said kids were excluded.
Yeah, well, I did, but then you said your kids anyway.
I missed one of my kids. I did. I missed them both. But is that, you know, it was a very strange, immersive experience. Claire, I've got to go because we'll come up to the news. Thank you very much. We've got loads of calls here. We've got Niall, Luke, Caddick, Andy and Darren. Get your calls in for the next hour because after midnight we're going to be speaking to a guest. So we're going to speak to Marshall Summers, who about 40 years ago was summoned to the desert, where he received messages from aliens telling him that basically the world is screwed. And we spoke to his son a couple of months ago, and he was such an interesting story. 03444991000, the Late Night Alternative with me, Ian Lee, on Talk Radio.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Yesterday was kind of like the 4th of July, the way your face lit up the entire sky. Had to look away because it hurt my eyes. The way you hit me was a big surprise. Yesterday I really didn't know what to say. I wasn't making any sense, but it felt okay. Ask you if it was my birthday. This kind of thing don't happen every day. Hey, hey, hey. Hey, hey. just like a child, a little curious, a little wild. Live in the moment and you'll never go out of style. You know it's really been a while.
Song so much. That's Imani Coppola, and I would sing that as I to get to the trials. You had to cross these really high rope bridges, not the ones that you exited the show on, but they're really high and horrible, really scary. Would wobble. You can only go across them one at a time, and they would film you crossing it. And I made the mistake of the first time I did it, looking like I was bricking it, which I was. I've just remembered something I've got to say. Hang on a second, I'll tell Catherine a sec. And so every time I would go across the rope bridges, to make myself feel and look more confident, I would sing that song. So it's very... I've just remembered something really funny, right? And it's so... it's so funny. And I said we weren't going to talk about I'm a Celebrity all the time, but it's tonight. But it seems that that's what people want to do, so I'm cool with that, man. Don't worry. And you can ask me literally anything except the fee. And you know what? I might even tell you the fee one day. It was all right. Not as much as I expected, but enough good. So there was one trial I had to do, and it's the funniest one, where it was Amir dressed as a cat. And I was watching on a screen. And he was blindfolded, so he was dressed as a giant cat, and he had to go around this building and collect stuff, right?
Yeah, it was brilliant.
And again, mind games. Like, there's so many mind games. Because we were, at that point, we were so suspicious and untrusting of the show, that of course you're going to think there's spiders. You're going to think there's all that stuff there.
And so me was going, there. What is there? And you're saying it's a big dinosaur. It's a big fluffy dinosaur.
And he would say, it's so funny. Him, you know, world champion boxer dressed in a cat, touching a dinosaur, and then going, I don't want to touch no effing bee snakes, right? and then every time he knocked something down, I would get electric shocks.
And he would squeal.
Yeah, right. So I would get electric shocks, okay, and I had a TENS machine on me. I'll let you into a secret. Half the time I wasn't getting an electric shock, and I turned to them. This is the only bit that was, as far as I'm aware, was faked. And I said to them, it's not working every time. They said, just pretend. So there are some, when you see me running on the spot, that's a real one. When other times it's not. But what I was doing, well, okay. So I got home, right, and I see my kids, and they're so proud of me, and it's wonderful. Any parent, you know, to have that much pride from your kids is wonderful. And my youngest, who's five, six in January, said, I said, what was your favourite bits? And he said, I liked the bit where your friend was dressed as a cat. And I said, oh. And he said, yeah. And you got the electric shocks and you would go like this. And this is a five-year-old. Jesus! And I said, gosh, wow, OK. And I thought, let's not make a thing about it, fine. And then he was playing Lego, a Lego Star Wars on the Xbox. And something went wrong and he went, Jesus! I said, right, OK, we're going to have this chat. Listen, that's not a particularly nice thing to say. And, you know, I was doing it because I was in pain and I shouldn't have done it. I shouldn't have said it, really. But, that was a genuine reaction from me. But it was the fun, you know, it's the fun. Jesus! And it just shows you the impact that TV has on people. And it's slightly more because it's my son. But they're thrilled because I've given them the hat that I wore. I gave them the hat. And as far as I'm aware, here's something for the Sun. You can print this in your papers tomorrow. I'm the only one that got to keep my clothes. You're not supposed to keep your clothes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're supposed to give them back, and I couldn't work out why. But I got the wardrobe lady loved me so much. She said, "Ian, it's great to see real men being portrayed. You should be very proud of yourself."
Where's she from?
Delhi. And she said, "You know what? You can keep your clothes." So I've not got the fleece, and I've not got the waterproof, but I've got my shirt, my T-shirt, and my red trousers, and probably a pair of socks. Everyone gets the boots and the hat, but yeah, so I'm the only one that's got that.
That could be very handy for next time you're eating something unpleasant.
The next time we go to Nando's. It's a joke, guys. I love Nando's. I'd love a black card. No, it'll come in very, very handy for when next time I'm skint and I can put them on eBay. That's what it'll come in handy for.
I bet they still stink, don't
How
they?
How was... Yeah, I've not washed them yet.
And don't even wash if you wash them.
They'll smell
campfire.
Of campfire. How is it? Listen, because it's all been about me. And for those new people to the show, Kath is the producer of this show, so she's the brains behind it. But she's also somehow muscled her way into being into this studio and being a co-presenter. How has your 5 weeks been? What have you been up to?
Weird. Very weird.
Go on.
I was watching my mate being tortured most nights. That's what it felt like.
Oh, you mean me on we're mates? Okay,
yeah.
Oh, really?
And I had to be really careful what I said because the mirror listened to this and lift bits.
Hello, Daily Mirror.
Stuff
we love. We love the mirror. We love this. I love all of those guys, but we love the Sun more because they own us, of course.
Yeah. And promised to send me some money that I haven't. But but it was very weird.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed some bits of it.
Yeah.
And I found a lot of it really hard watch.
You know me so well. You would have known when I was struggling, and when I was miserable, proper miserable.
Yep.
You would have known when I was hamming it up for the camera, as I did a bit. The Eton trial was a complete ham up. It was a wonderful bit of theatre. It was horrible, but there was no reason. You know, I was nearly sick with the camel's brains, but the rest of it was pure theatre. Scorpions. It was like having 20 fingernails in your mouth. There's a little sack in the scorpion when it bursts. This bitter taste comes out. You saw when I was hamming it up, and you would have known when I was being polite to people that I hated at that time. Don't hate anyone now, but at that time.
Really hard watching people talking about you. Really hard.
Behind my back, apparently. I didn't know any of that. I didn't know that. Thanks, guys.
Yeah. But, you know, it was interesting. I think I'm glad it's over.
That to one side. How has the rest of your time, the last 5 weeks, been?
Interesting. I've had a few different presenters. I've had about three.
Oh, yeah, Tommy.
I had three in a week.
Rufus and Jamie.
Mm-hmm.
They're all good. They're all good. They're all very, great. Very different.
They're all great. And, you know, considering I've worked with you for the last 5 years pretty much constantly, it was, you know, an interesting exercise. But I kind of longed for normal.
Yeah. And how was life? All right.
Yeah.
Whatever. I missed this gig a lot. I missed this gig. This is the dream job, you know, and so I missed doing this and being away for 5 weeks from a radio show. It can be career suicide. It happens to have been the alternative, the complete opposite of that, but we'll discuss that at a later date. But yeah, it can be career suicide. And I missed it. I just missed it. You know, it was twice in there when I was going to leave. I was ready to walk out. And what they do is the first time was the Saturday. So day three for me. Cause you were one of five or six people that knew I was going in. You knew, my wife knew, my kids didn't know until the day I left. Our boss, Denny, didn't know. His boss knew, but Denny didn't know. Scott knew, my sister, obviously, and a couple of others. So you knew, because you got all the umming and ahhing, or should I, shouldn't I, and I think I'm going to do it.
What the effort I've done, Kath.
Yeah.
A lot.
And so on the Saturday, the third day in there, it was after that awful swimming thing, which I couldn't do. And the initial excitement had worn off. And I just thought, I can't do this. I've made the worst decision of my life. And I went in and said, guys, you've got to let me. I'm going to walk. And what they do very cleverly is they kind of insist. I mean, if I wanted to, I could have walked out. But they kind of suggest that you should sleep on it. And then the next day you go and meet the show psychiatrist. And so I went to meet the show psychiatrist, and there was a film crew outside. And the chat with the psychiatrist is private. You take your microphone off, and it's behind closed doors. The only time, that and when you go and see Dr. Bob, the only time when you're behind closed doors. And I said, why is there a film crew here? Of course, they were waiting for me to walk out and film me walking out. They were ready to go. And she basically, the psychiatrist told me off in a very firm way. She told me off and suggested I'd be better off staying. And then the second time was right towards the end. It was the day after Shappy left and the evictions had started. And you know, to some people, it turns out outside that to the shy, introverted people who aren't in the in crowd, I was becoming a little bit of a folk hero. I don't think that's too much of a thing to say. But I, of course, had no idea of this. But the people that I was saying I wanted to leave to, the production crew, did know this. And there was a lovely... We got to speak to three people in the BT who we never met. But there was a lovely lady called Laura, who I think I'm going to be very good friends with. And she obviously knew that actually outside I was looking good, looking all right. And she was very gently, without, you know, breaking the rules, kind of saying, well, you just don't know how people outside are perceiving you. Maybe you're being perceived in a good way. Perhaps you should... She's going, no, I can't be. People hate me because I'm a tosser. Weird old thing.
Meanwhile, people out here were saying, do you think he'll walk? And I went, I think he knows himself. And if he walks, he walks.
Yep. Yep. But then they reminded me, if you walk, you don't get paid. I went, ah, yes, right. Thanks very much indeed. Let's have a quick break, then we'll be back. We've got Niall, Stephen, Katie, loads of people, loads of new people as well. Thank you very much indeed. This is The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee. Unfiltered night talk with the original king of unconventional conversation on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
I've been away for 5 weeks. For the first 2 weeks, I was in Australia. Before I went in, I had no mobile phone and no computer. I've watched some of the worst movies. I was in a hotel, wasn't allowed to leave the hotel. I watched some of the worst movies. I watched the Chips movie, which is all right. Watched The Hitman's Bodyguard, and these are all at $20 a pop. I'll tell you what was good. I really enjoyed The Big Sick.
All right, yeah, you told me about that.
Oh, I loved that. I thought it was brilliant. I thought it would be soppy and rubbish. It was heartwarming. Mm-hmm. Absolutely wonderful. Really dug that. It was really good. Let's go to some calls. Go on, so what are you going to say?
Did you catch up with A Good Place?
Yeah, I finished A Good Place. That's good, great. Great series. Guys, if you want a good series, I don't know if I mentioned it before I went away. If you want a good series, Netflix, The Good Place. Ted Danson. Kristen Bell. And basically this woman dies and she goes to heaven. They don't call it heaven, they call it The Good Place, with hilarious consequences. I'm not going to say any more because it's so clever, it's so funny, it's so innovative, and it's got at least two of the best I've ever seen in anything. I nicked it. I used it in the jungle once when I thought that I was on a bit of a winning streak. I spent all day practising for when Aunt Dex said, Ian, it's not you. The Good Place, it's on Netflix. It's so good. It looks beautiful. Danson's wonderful. Although I do find myself trying to find the join in his wig.
A good syrup.
Most of it's wig. I think the only bit that is real hair is just this little bit at the back.
No, fringe.
No, that's not real.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because you can see roots. Oh, no. What I think he's done is he's grown his fringe and then he's got the weave in, like,
the
middle, and he's brushed it over.
I don't think the fringe is real.
Of course it is.
Well, OK. Fun game. Spot Ted Danson's wig. Let's go to Stephen. Good evening, Stephen.
Hello, Ian. How you doing, mate?
I'm all right, thanks. Steve, what you got for us?
Right. I've got two questions.
Yes, sir.
And I want to sing you a song.
Oh, God. Okay. Who wants to sing us a song tonight? This is a day of celebration. Wonderful.
Right. So the first question is, yeah, when everyone comes out of I'm a Celebrity, everyone says it's the best experience they've ever had.
Yeah.
Isn't it one of the best experiences?
Are you asking me, was it one of the best experiences I'd ever had? No.
I mean, apart from the bullying you said wasn't bullying.
Yeah. No, it wasn't. It wasn't one of the best experiences. It was one of the most intense experiences. It was one of the weirdest experiences. I cannot tell you how weird it is to be in that bubble. You're in a bubble, right? And then suddenly, like that, you walk across a bridge and you are out of the bubble. And it's noisy and it's colourful and there are people shouting at you. It was not one of the best experiences I'd ever had by a long way, because for two-thirds of it, I was miserable. terrible. But I'm glad I did it. I'm really glad I did it.
Okay. Second question.
Yes, sir.
How much weight did you lose?
I think it was about a stone and a half, and I've put about half a stone back on, and I'm kind of keen.
You still look skinny.
I saw a picture of me day after I came out because some guy asked me to hold a picture, say hello to his daughter on camera, and he posted that on Facebook, and I thought, God, you look ill. But I've put half a stone back on, and I'm kind of keen to hover around that. But my appetite has gone. Your stomach shrinks, so everyone's talking about food in there all the time. Then you come out and you go, you can have anything you want. I wasn't hungry.
Isn't it also true that you get used to, like, cleaner or blander flavours?
Oh, God, the meals that we had on the last day, not so much for me, because mine wasn't a particularly salty meal. But I'm really sensitive to salt now. Yeah. Really sensitive to salt. That'll go. And tastes, and I'm enjoying this while it lasts, tastes are so... It's like, you know, putting a rainbow into your mouth. My sense of taste is heightened beyond belief. It's incredible.
Okay, cool.
Thanks,
now,
man.
Can I sing you a song?
Oh, yeah, sorry, of course you can, Stephen. Yeah, of course. For those new listeners who have been wondering what this show is like, this is kind of it. Randoms phone up and sing songs.
Right. Everybody sing. Hey, little hen, when you gonna slay a couple eggs for my tea?
Wow.
Does that bloke still phone in?
No, he doesn't. Years and years ago, I did a radio show on another station. You got it slightly wrong. This is the song. Oh. Hey, little hen, when will you lay me an egg for my tea? Hey, little hen, when will you... I don't know what the words are. I've got to find it. Hang on a minute. No, he doesn't, but I do know, because I met him once. Really nice guy. He was a pornographer. Yeah. He used to make a porno movie. Well, you're not a pornographer, is. Oh, Stephen's gone. He's obviously had enough. This is the Hey Little Hen song, because it's got verses and everything. Have a listen to this. This is a great song.
I had a lot of...
I don't like that version. There we go. This is the version we want. This is the version we want. Here we go. This is a great song. Oh, is he not going to sing? Here we go. Little hen. Let's sing in a minute. Doesn't sing. Okay, this is the, and for those again new to the show wondering, it's like it will now descend into the next 40 minutes of me trying to find the correct version of Hey Little
Hen. A man googling is what the show is a lot.
Here we go. Yes, sir. Yay! Here we go. Take it away, guys. Hey Little Hen. Yeah. Oh. Jeez, there's got to be. Hey Little Hen. Singing, googling out. So we got the switchboard is completely full, but I'm sorry.
Of people waiting for you to get your act together.
Here we go. This is it. We're in. Here we go.
Can I get a good?
That's an advert for I don't know, for a phone. I don't know what that's an advert. Okay, right. Here we go. This is it. Here we go. This is it. We're singing.
It better be.
This is it. Here we go. Ha! Jeez. No, there's got to be lyrics. This is the intro. Oh, come on. He's going to sing. This is the intro. He's got to... This is 3 minutes 14 seconds long. It can't just be this. Here we go.
You reckon?
One, two, one, two, three, four. Oh. Ah! There, he does sing. Right, he does. Here we go. Enjoy. This is good. Then we'll do the phone calls. Periscope numbers have dropped to their lowest so far today, and I suspect the listening figures are in a similar downward trend.
I feel like we're all having an episode.
Here we go. Take it away, Mr. Nat Gonella.
Hey, little hen. What about laying me an egg?
Getting this from the hen's perspective.
Let's cut out the singing. I want you to lay me an egg.
This is old-fashioned rap.
Too tired, nothing. Lay me an egg.
Lay me an egg.
Are you registered with me?
Now, listen, I don't want to be registered with you. I'll probably pull a feather off you in a moment. Now, don't get mad. I had a lot of chickens, a large chicken run. But owing to conditions, I'm now down to one. I give her all the tidbits, the dear little thing.
And just to keep her up to scratch, I go to her and sing.
Hey, little hen, when will you lay me an egg for my tea? Hey,
this is a great line. This line is great.
When will you try to supply one for me? Get into your nest, do your little best. Get it off your chest.
It's not what they are.
I can do the rest. Ho! Hey, little hen, when will you lay me an egg for my tea?
There we go. Let's go to Niall. Good evening, Niall.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thank you, Niall. How are you today, sir?
I'm very good. I'm a bit tired, but I'm going through.
You've just got to do it. You've just got to go through it. There's no alternative, is there?
No, unfortunately not.
What you got for us, Niall?
I just wanted to, before I ask you about the questions about the jungle,
yeah,
which I'm sure everyone else wants to know about,
yeah,
The Good Place, it is actually amazing.
Isn't it incredible? Just when I'd been so disenchanted by all television, then something, it fills my hope with joy that there are still people making brand new innovative shows.
And the next one's out, what, January?
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, beautiful.
I didn't know that.
Oh, beautiful. It's so good. It's so good. Who's that guy that she's her soulmate? Because he's brilliant. I've never seen him before. And he's a revelation, isn't he? I mean, all of them are great.
I've never heard of him. I've never heard of, Jimmy Jamil's characters.
Well, I never heard Jamila Jamil. I've never heard of her. You were saying, Kath, that she's like on Radio 1 or something.
She was, yeah. Kelly Betts worked with her briefly.
They're all great. It's such a good show. This is my tip to everyone. Go and watch The Good Place. You can sign up to Netflix for a month for free. And you go and do it. It's great.
Honestly, it is. The Jungle now. I remember watching the trial with the... you licking... was it a toad or a frog?
Oh, God.
Oh, with I had my head in the box and was doing the tonguing.
Yeah, yes.
Because I know they cut stuff down, right? Did that, because Ant and Dec were being filthy like that. They said, Oying, you got a good technique.
They kept that in.
They keep that in. They were dirty buggers.
Yeah, they kept most of that in.
Yeah.
They also used it in slow motion.
Oh, I'd heard this, that they did it in slow motion with porno, sexy music
yes,
over the top, yeah. Jenny was mortified when she... Because Jenny's
her
quite...
Her husband enjoyed it.
Jenny's quite prim and proper. She's quite old-fashioned, which is lovely to say. I don't mean that as an insult. She's just like, you know, very straight down the line. And she was mortified.
You know why? She's from Bury.
Right, and...
That's what people are like.
Oh, okay. I don't know that. I don't know if that's a slur on the
No, it's
paper.
Not. Just people are like that.
Okay. Yeah, anyway, go on.
What? Weird question, but what did it taste like?
I don't think I got a toad in the mouth. Jenny did. I don't think I ended up licking a toad.
Didn't you have to lick past a snake?
The snake was stuck behind the thing, and what they didn't show, because I did watch the end of it, someone had to put their hand up and move the snake.
Oh.
Because I was warned, right? Before I did that, the snake wrangler said, look, just be careful. Because they use that set, two shows use that set, the British I'm a Celeb and the Germans. The Australians do it in South Africa and it's for 2 months. And he said, look, just to let you know that the last series the Germans did, the fella turned it the wrong way with his tongue and squashed a snake. So I was being really sensitive of the snake. So anyway, I got bitten on the nose by a crab, but all I know is that the mealworms and the cockroaches stank. That's it. I mean, they just stink, and it's that stink is in your hair for days.
Did you come away with a lot of injuries?
Injuries.
Your feet are a disgrace, aren't they?
I showed you my feet, because I was wearing the same pair of socks for 14 days, and I slept in them as well. Injuries? No injuries. We've got lots of bites and things, but no injuries.
Oh. See, I thought it'd be completely different. I thought you'd be covered in bites and scratches everywhere.
I had some bites. I didn't even use the insect repellent. There's a couple of bites still there. I normally get bitten to pieces, but I didn't even use their insect repellent. Everyone else was getting bitten, and the bites they'd gone 2 days later. So no, there was no injuries. Now, thank you for that. We've got loads of calls. Let's rattle through these. Let's go to Ali. Good evening, Ali.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good, thank you, mate. What you got for us?
All right, I've just got a couple of things.
Yes.
First of all, I think possibly the tensest moment for most of the general public when they were watching the show is the argument that you had with Dennis.
Well, that was very uncomfortable for me as well, yes. I hadn't noticed, or I'd forgotten, and I don't know because I read it, that I'd forgotten that he stood up, which is, of course,
yeah,
an aggressive...
Easily missed.
Yes. but, yeah, go on.
Well, the reason that I wasn't... Well, I don't know what to say, what I can say, what I can't say.
You can say anything you want.
The reason that I wasn't surprised, yeah. And I'm sure that you're aware of... And I'm sure he's nothing like this now.
Yeah.
But he's got some bit of a bad history, hasn't he?
Well, I didn't know, but I've read a couple of stories since that people have sent me, and one for a violent incident, and I've spoken to a couple of people who know more about football, and they, you know, said that he was an angry man. And I'm sure that's all in his past, and we've all got pasts. You're right, it was one of the tensest moments, and it was one of the few moments... where I stood up for myself. And I'd gone into the Bush Telegraph before, and I'd said to Laura, this voice, faceless voice I didn't meet, I'm going to go out there and say I want to do this trial, but I expect Jamie is going to get his dick out and start waving it in my face. I thought it would have been Jamie that would have kicked off. She said, well, if you want to...
Well, I wish that had been on the telly, because, you know, that would have been great.
That would have been something. And she said, well, if you want to go and do it, then go and do it. You should go and do it. And I'm really proud that I said I wanted to do it, even though I knew there was no chance of me doing it. And I'm really proud that I stood up to Dennis. Jamie was agreeing with him. I'm really proud that I stood up to him. And I wish that I had stood up to people a little bit more. I have to say... I'm on good terms with pretty much everyone now. I had a nice little text exchange with Dennis just before I came on air. I had a nice little text exchange with Becky, and we've made peace. I haven't spoken to Amir, and Amir is the one I'm the most disappointed with, because I thought we were friends, and then I've seen clips of him lying about me behind my back. So that disappoints me a lot. Amir and I were going to go to Pakistan together. We had a little plan to go and see Pakistan. So that disappoints me. And I'm upset with what Dennis and Jamie and Becky said about me behind my back, and about what some of them said about me once they left. But I bear no grudge. There's no beef. There's no beef, Ali.
No.
There's no beef.
It's just sometimes that you are... Because it happened to me recently between myself and another mate of mine.
Oh, go on.
Where... And you know it... in your little exchange when you said, right, well, I won't do any more trials again for the rest of the show.
Yeah.
And that's when he got the big ump.
Yeah.
Said, don't say. And that's exactly what my friend did in a way with me. And that's what those kinds of people I refer to as kind of sort of slight, not psychotic, but sort of very, very strange personalities.
There were some personalities in there that certainly liked to control situations and environments. He was a team captain and a manager, so that, you know, he's had 30 years, whatever, however long it was, 20 years of controlling people.
Of course.
It was his job. And when things don't go quite according to their script, they can get very frustrated. But we kind of... I mean, I was pissed off with him, but we kind of made up afterwards, and I kind of made up because it was just easier to make up. I knew that I'd said what I wanted to say, and that I'd stood up for myself, and I felt pleased that I'd been able to do that. And I thought his argument was nonsense, and Toff stood up for me then as well.
Yeah.
What frustrates me.
Go on.
The lack of responsibility taken for any of it. It's all been pushed on.
Yeah.
And
I'll give you that.
When someone continually says, and it came up quite a lot, don't make me look bad. Yep. Don't you make me look bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was, well, he said that then, stop trying, he said, because I remember, because he used to say, sometimes he would struggle for words, so he'd say, what's name? He said, don't try and make me look what's name in front of all this, pointing to the cameras. Mm. And I was thinking, I didn't say it out loud, but I was thinking, mate, I'm not. You're losing your temper.
Yeah.
You're making yourself look what's name. I'm not, you know. And I know editing and stuff can tighten things up and slightly change perspective. But
if you don't say it, they can't show it.
Editing can't. They won't be able to show stuff that you didn't say, which is why I was quite quiet for a lot of it. And maybe I think some people were expecting me to kick off more. But I just knew that if I first of all, I was too intimidated to kick off, and I didn't want.
Well, it's a family show, isn't it?
Well, it's a family show, and I didn't want to distress my kids. And also, I was so uncomfortable in there, Ali, so uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But also, I was. Here's the thing, right? And this is why I think I got called a game player, is because I knew it was a game show. It's a game show, right? And because I went in 5 days after everyone else, everyone had got into the mentality of this was their journey. It was a spiritual journey for some people, and they bonded and. Blah, blah, blah. And I never had that. To keep me sane, before I went in, and I said, I may have said this to you, Kath, I went in thinking this is a game show, that where we sleep is a studio, and I made a point of going in and finding all of the cameras, finding all of the microphones that were hidden, always remembering I had a microphone.
You said to me you were going to remember you were at work.
Yeah, I was at work. And that's partly what the strawberries were, and maybe I'll talk about that at a later date, exactly why that happened. But when I got given immunity, first of all, I was annoyed because I wanted to go, and then I went, oh, this is... It's a game show. I've got it again. I've forgotten. It's a game show. So I was bouncing around going, this is the greatest game show on television. These guys, the guys that are making this are geniuses. And that's when Becky went, but hang on a minute, you wanted to leave 20 minutes ago. You're a game player. So that's where that came from. Yeah. But the whole time I was in there, pretty much, Ali, I knew it was a game show. And I don't think anyone else... Chappie mainly, but maybe. I don't think anyone else grasped that it was a game show. They took it as a spiritual experience that we were all kind of sharing.
Great. Can I have two things really quickly, because I know you've got a big queue. One is another great Netflix series I'm just watching at the moment, Wormwood.
Now, is this the time travel one?
No, Wormwood is about... It's an Errol Morris documentary.
Oh, yeah.
Stroke drama.
Yeah.
About the scientist in America who was allegedly murdered by the CIA.
Oh, no, I've seen that pop up on my... You may also like this. OK, yeah. Brilliant, I'll have that.
Yeah, really good. And the third thing is, it's just a request for a song, Strawberry Fields Forever by the Beatles.
No, but I'll play Strawberry Fields Forever by Candy Flip. I hope that's OK. We'll put these two ads together, because we've got so many calls. I don't think we're going to get all of these calls in before midnight, but we'll have a quick go. Evening, Katie.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. Katie, what have you got for us?
You mentioned earlier on about, obviously, when you were in I'm a Celeb, how proud your kids were.
Yeah.
Without sounding patronising, I think we're all really proud of you, because we've kind of been listening to you, been having your ups and downs lately, and I was dead proud of you.
Oh, well, thank you, Katie.
I'm all the time. You were brilliant.
Oh, that's very, very sweet. It's so weird to and I didn't get to read everyone's tweets. I read every email that was sent, although I couldn't reply because I had 700... and just the outpouring of affection, especially from, and they won't mind me saying this because I identify myself this, as a slightly nerdy, perhaps slightly lonely, awkward, uncomfortable men of a certain age, has just been, been a thrill. It's been a thrill. But everyone, you know, I've appreciated everyone's support.
Oh, you were fab. You were fab. The other thing is that you played a song about the hen and the egg.
Yes.
There was one, I don't know if you remember this, I was on stage when I was about 5 years old, and I used to sing a song called Chick Chick Chicken.
Chick 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 Chicken, lay a little egg for me.
How great
was that? Chick 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 Chicken, lay a little egg for my tea.
There we go. I had one for my supper, and now it's 3:30.
Go on.
Chick 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 Chicken, lay a little egg for me. That was the only one.
This is the phone-in for the next 25 minutes. Songs about chickens and or eggs.
The reason I was ringing you was because I did something really exciting tonight.
Oh.
First time.
This could be very exciting. Anything. The first time. Was it with a partner or was it solo?
No, no, it was with a group of people.
Wowzers! Here we go. We're in.
It wasn't anything like that.
Oh.
I did a flash mob tonight.
Oh, are they still
a
thing?
Organised it.
What was it?
So I have a choir in Barnacastle called the Halcyon Singers, okay, and it's been going on for about a year. I just thought it'd be really fun to organise something at the local shop, Morrison's.
Yeah.
So I got in touch with the manager about a week ago, and we organised it. Yeah. So I spoke, they're all of a certain age, so Pat started it by the baked beans. It was very, very special.
How many people did you have?
22.
Oh, mate, that's brilliant. well done.
What did you sing?
And we sang "Oh Come All You Faithful," and Morrison's generally in Barnacastle doesn't see much like this.
Yeah.
You know, they haven't seen anything like it. But so she started "Oh Come All You Faithful," and I got everyone to gather around the bread area.
Yeah.
And they all started singing it. Oh. And it was so cool. And I was wearing a Morrison's cleaning kind of top.
Yes.
And... about 10 minutes before, people, like, random people coming in asking me how much the price of tuna was and stuff, and I had no idea. I was like, I have no idea. So we kept going, and we sang, and we had a great feedback, and it was just such a fun experience.
Oh,
it was
brilliant.
It was really great. So we've got a tweet of it, if I can possibly tweet video.
Yep.
Is that all right?
Yeah, of course you can, Katie.
Okay.
All right, listen, send me a tweet. I've got to move on to it. I've got so many calls. We're not going to get through all these calls, but we'll have a damn good crack at it. This is Talk Radio.
Across the UK, online and on DAB.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
Guys, don't phone in. Let's not put any more calls through because we've got 15 minutes and we've got a load of calls tonight. So thank you. And after midnight, we've got Marshall Summers coming on and we'll probably have him for the whole hour. I'm really excited about talking to him. So let's try and get as many of these as we can. Good evening, Ricardo.
Oh, hi, Ian. How are you?
I'm good, thanks, mate. What have you got for us?
I was wondering...
let's lose that music as well, please. Hang on a minute. I can't hear you make some music. Yeah, go on.
Yeah.
Yes.
When he came back from the jungle, what crisps did you have? Like, the first crisps?
I've not had any crisps yet.
Oh, you're kidding me.
There was a packet of plain opens that my kids had, and I had one of them, but I've not, crisps were not top of my list. I can't remember the last time.
What are your favourite crisps, though, if you had to?
Knick-knacks.
Oh, really?
I love knick-knacks.
Really?
Spicy knick-knacks.
There we go.
I love knick-knacks. What's your favourite crisp? It's a bit local radio, this, but we might as well. What's yours?
Well, you know, look, we're trying our best. It's McCoy's Ready Salted, which are very rare to find.
Oh, McCoy's. We had McCoy's in the jungle. One of the treats was we got three crisps each, Jesus. And they were McCoy's. And I couldn't remember the name of them. When you're in there, your brain turns to mush and you forget. We were all struggling to remember names and fact, all this stuff, and I forgot
that. That's lack of food, isn't it?
It's just, I don't know what it is, lack of food and stimulation, I think. But they were McCoy's, and I was looking at this crisp, going, what is this called? I know what this is. I couldn't think. So it was a McCoy's, thank you.
Did it have the name on the packet?
Or? No, mate, we didn't have a packet you put in. Someone brought back a cloche, and we opened it, and there were three crisps each. Very peculiar. Gary!
Hello.
Hello, Gary.
How are you, all right?
Yeah, how are you doing?
I'm all right. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you and Catherine, for starters.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And well done for getting it right, because some people say Happy Christmas and a Merry New Year. That really gets my goat.
Also, quite a lot of people call me Kathleen.
Yeah. They're the same people that film in Portrait.
Last time I spoke, you wanted to punch me.
Sorry?
Last time I spoke, you wanted to punch me.
Oh, I still want to punch you.
I'll figure all of that now.
I still want to do it.
All right, that's all right then.
No worries. Thanks for calling back. What you got for us?
Can I say, my wife's best friend 3 months ago, and I didn't know this till later. Yeah. They were related to Cray twins.
What?
3 months ago, I lost my best friend. I'm sat with his sister now.
Yes.
And they're related to Cray twins. I'm shocked, mate.
How? In what way are they related?
Cousins.
Wowzers, there you go, you see. Well, that's,
And do you want to say hello, Alice? No, she don't want to say hello.
Okay. I don't believe she's there.
Honestly.
I don't believe she's there.
No, she is. Say hello, Alice. Say something.
Hello, no. Ian!
No, she said something. They said
is
no.
It, is it you with a wig on?
No.
Okay.
No, just, I was shocked.
After this phone call, am I going to get another 2 months of passive-aggressive tweeting?
I never saw passive-aggressive tweets off me. I never gave passive-aggressive tweeting.
Yeah, you did.
No, I didn't. Yeah, Gary Wood on...
you tweeted me.
You tweeted me. I never tweeted you.
You did.
No, I didn't.
OK, let's take your word for it, but...
I don't think I did.
We've gone from a definite to a maybe. Yeah. I know you did. You sent me loads of tweets. I basically didn't.
Friendly tweets. Friendly ones.
Friendly. You did send me tweets. They were passive-aggressive.
Friendly ones.
Yeah, they were passive-aggressive.
Not passive-aggressive.
What is passive aggression?
I don't know.
There we go. So you don't know. Now I've cut him off. I'll get a load of passive messages again. Yeah. Sam, good evening, Sam.
Good evening. How are you, Ian?
I've had a bit of a migraine, so I'm a little bit wobbly, but apart from that, I'm fine and dandy.
Oh, good. Yeah. But apart from the migraine,
thank you.
Okay.
Well done for clarification.
Yeah, that's good. A couple of questions, really, about your time in the jungle. I know you're probably getting a bit bored about answering.
Hey, people want to talk about it, I'm happy to answer the questions. Of course I am.
But Would you consider writing a book on your time in the jungle?
I don't think it would sustain a whole book, but I have been writing a book, and that was my pretense for being away. I've been writing a book where every chapter is about a different TV show that I've worked on, and I've got about 25,000 words. I need about another 55,000 words, and there will be a chapter on the jungle, yes.
Oh, good. Yeah, I've been writing a book myself.
It's hard, isn't it?
Yeah, it is hard.
You've got to put loads of words in.
Yeah, you just sit there with writer's block.
I can't do it.
I've got to about 35,000 words, and, yeah.
Oh, I can't do it. I haven't got the... Well, I can do it, but I haven't got the temperament to sit down and focus on something like that all day.
No, that's because you're usually screaming, getting an electric shock, isn't it?
That's it. That's exactly it. That's I enjoyed that task. It was just like a Friday night for me.
Every time you sit on the chair.
Yeah, there we go. We should do that. We should. Here we go. This is great. This is great. I've got a great idea, right?
Yeah, go on.
I'm going to buy 2 tens machines.
No,
right?
I'm not playing.
And I'm going to wear one. And Kath's going to wear
one. I'm
not
wearing one.
Now, here's the thing. And I will have the button that operates Kath's.
No.
And she will have the button that operates mine.
I don't want to play.
And the callers will phone in. And they'll make their phone in and say, oh, yeah, well, my favourite B-side is God Only Knows by the Beach Boys. And I'd like to buzz Kath. So they phone in and vote to who they want to buzz.
But you know, right.
Yeah, they'll vote for me all the time. They're arseholes.
They'll vote for me because I'll make noises that they find erotic.
Oh. I wonder how much a tens machine is.
No!
I've got a few quid
now.
You
can rent them. You can rent them from the chemist.
No, you can buy... Yeah, but I'm...
Say I'm pregnant.
Why am I typing in Americans? I want to type in Amazon. That's funny, isn't it? I've typed in Yamazon. Yeah, we'll do that. That's a brilliant idea, Sam. Thank you.
Thanks, Sam.
Is that your plot for your next show, then?
That will be happening next week, so it'll take a while to get them. But thank you, Sam. Let's go to Andy. Evening, Andy.
Hey, Ian. How you doing, man?
I'm good, thanks, mate. What you got?
Listen, I just want to say, where have you been? I've been calling up for the last 3 weeks and you've not been there.
I've been off writing a book.
Have you?
Yeah,
Wales,
sorry.
Okay. Wales, it was.
Was it Wales?
Yes, I rented a cottage in Wales.
And I wanted to be somewhere quite local.
Yeah, it was, God, tens machines are like 30 quid.
Oh, forget it then. Never mind. Right, good idea.
We're on the radio.
You don't need a tens machine, you just need a fork and a plug socket.
No, I don't. No, we could do the dead arm game.
No, because well, I bruise like a peach.
But I'm in Sheffield and you're down there.
Right, I'm going to... Listen, I've got over 100,000 followers now and the love of the nation. I'm a national treasure. I'm tweeting, can anyone lend me 2 really powerful...
No, please,
tens
don't do this.
..machines for my radio show?
This is a terrible
Thanks.
Idea.
There we go. Oh, mate, it's going to be brilliant. People phone in and they vote who they want to get zapped. That is awesome. That's what we're going to do.
Before I talk to you about what I've called up to tell you, can I just give you a little bit of a confession?
Yeah, go on.
Kath is in my top... I'm gay.
Yeah.
Kath is in my top 3 fantasy women.
So top 3, that means you're number 3.
I don't care.
Who's number 2?
Well, 3's pretty good, apparently.
Number 2 is Olivia Lee.
Olivia Lee, okay, my cousin, yeah? She's not...
Gorgeous
really.
Olivia Lee.
Yeah, yeah.
And number 1 is Britney Spears.
Fair enough.
Yeah, yeah.
I think if you guys come to Sheffield to do a show,
yes,
and you come to my house, then you know I don't know anything about Kath.
Are you sure? Are you sure you're gay? Are you sure you're gay? Do you think that is there a little, you know, because we all know sexuality isn't black and white. It's all the colours of the rainbow. You know,
exactly.
Do you think that maybe you know you've just not slept with a powerful older, slightly haggard woman, and that maybe might, you know, make prove to you that you're not gay?
I think that's what's doing it for me. I've never met Kath so far.
Yeah.
So, you know, party time, wine, a few nibbles will be fine.
Yeah, oh, she's got nipples. Nibbles, nibbles, nibbles. I'm so sorry, and it's not the greatest of lines. I do apologise. But
listen, dude, I know you've got a lot of calls.
Yes.
So before we,
I've only got 2 calls and 10 minutes to fill now, so maybe it's good. Go on, you've got plenty of time.
That's all right. Listen, I just want to say to you, I've not had the best... Being serious now.
Okay.
I've not had the best of years.
Okay.
I'm clinically depressed.
Yep.
And I suffer from clinical anxiety. I don't suffer. I'm a survivor.
Yes.
But the amount of inspiration that you've given myself, and I'm sure many, 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 many others while you've been in the jungle, is just phenomenal. And I saw interview recently where you said you're not very good at accepting compliments.
Yes.
I know exactly what it's like because I'm not very good at that either. Yes. But do know, when you're at your lowest in the future, that you made a positive difference to people. You really have, Ian. So well done.
And I'm going to do what I've been teaching myself to do over the last 12 months. I'm going to look at you, Andy, shake your hand and say, thank you very much, man. That's really kind. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, man.
Thanks, man.
I'm so proud of you. And listen, I've got my green T-shirt.
Yes. Oh.
So when you come up to Sheffield to do the show...
I didn't know those T-shirts were being printed. You know, when in the email that I got eventually in the jungle, everyone thought I was playing a game by skipping my email. You know, anyway, in the email I got, my sister wrote, and they didn't show this on TV, Scott has been making T-shirts and raising money for MS. And I thought that was brilliant. He did that without my knowledge. You know, I kind of would have liked some of the cash, but it's fine. And he raised about 550 quid for MS, which is brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. So everyone who bought one of those, you're nuts, but thank you very much indeed. And thank you, Scott. It was a really kind thing to do.
And next year, you have to do me a favour and let's get Daisy Donovan in the jungle.
Yeah, I'd like to see Daisy in the jungle. I think she'd do a great
job. I think she'd be awesome.
I think she'd be great. Andy, thank you very much indeed. Who's this? Hello, caller.
Hi.
I don't know who you are.
Tony.
It's who?
Tony.
Hello, Tony.
Question is, would you ever do Big Brother with any of the other guests?
Here's the thing, we all talked about it while we're in there. We talked about the reality TV, and so I had been offered I'm a Celebrity 4 times before and always turned it down, and then this time, because of certain circumstances, I approached them and they still wanted me, and a few others had been asked before. And we all talked about the other shows that we would do, and everyone said they wouldn't do Big Brother, except for me. I went, if the money was right, I said, I know it's a freak show and that it's all about arguments and sex.
Uh-huh.
But if the money was right, yeah, I'd do Big Brother. I don't think they'd ask me now I've done I'm a Celebrity, but I wouldn't have a problem with going in the Big Brother house now.
I think you've been quite good, and it's been good seeing you back on the TV. You remember the 11 o'clock show?
Yeah, it's weird, because I've not watched the show back. All I've seen are the trials, bits of the trials. And it's weird, and the bit with the strawberries, because I thought it was cool. But it's weird seeing, because of course, that was my life for 3 weeks, was that. Uh-huh. So then seeing that life condensed into a really slick ITV mainstream show, it's the weirdest. It's so strange to see it like that. But I don't think I'm going to watch the whole show. I don't think I could.
I think you really come across good on it. I think the other three males on it, just, I think they personally were jealous of you.
Jealousy, maybe.
Yeah.
Suspicious, I think.
There we go. Passive-aggressive tweet from Gary. Bad manners cutting me off. There you go, you see.
There we go.
There we go. We're going to get 2 months of that. 2 months of that. There we go.
Tony's had his time.
I think it was a clash of cultures is the line that I'm towing, and I'm quite happy to tow that line. I think it's a clash of cultures. I'm certainly not going to come out and speak badly of people, you know.
I think it's quite good way you've not spoken bad of.
Yeah.
I'm sure possibly you may have wanted to, maybe.
There's no. You wait until I'm on Loose Women, though, on Thursday. I'll be spilling the dirt there. Tony, I've got to move on, because I've got one more call before the news. Thank you, mate. Let's go to Matt. Good evening, Matt.
Ian, good evening.
Matt, good evening.
I want to let you know I've been listening to you for the last couple of months. I'm in New York in the States. We don't really have any crazy late-night talk shows over here like what you guys do, so I've been really enjoying it.
Hey,
from
nice one, man. Thank you very much indeed. Did you hear our New York shows that we did?
I'm sorry?
Did you hear we went to New York earlier in the year. Did you hear the shows we did there?
I did not, actually.
Oh, mate, we when was it, August, September? Yeah, yeah. Well, Kath and I went to New York and did the show for a week there. It was brilliant, wasn't it?
Loved it.
Where are we going? We might be going to Florida next year.
Tampa Bay.
We might be going to Tampa Bay.
Oh, it's nice. I just got back from there. It's a bit insane and crazy down there in that world, but it's fun.
That's what we want. Anyway, what you got for us, Matt?
I got it. I did watch the show, actually, over here, even though technically I'm not supposed to be able to watch it, but I did and really enjoyed it. Did have a question about, I know for me, the thought of being completely disconnected from the internet and the craziness and watching the world burn for 5 weeks sounds amazing.
Yeah, it was great.
I know that there's other stuff that's going on in there and all too, but did you ever have any moments where you stopped going, oh, it's so nice to
be completely disconnected from all of that.
All the time. Because for a week, I was in Australia for nearly 2 weeks before I went in. And I was in lockdown, which meant I had a chaperone and I wasn't allowed to leave the hotel. And they also confiscated my phone and computer, so I had no online access. They disconnected the phones, got the phones blocked in the hotel room, so I couldn't phone anywhere. I thought I would struggle a bit, but from the first moment, it was bliss. It was bliss not having that phone, certainly not having Twitter and Facebook. And if you've noticed, I've been engaging less on Twitter, a little bit, but less. And it was great. And I think one of the things I'm going to carry from this show is I'm really reworking my relationship with electronic devices. It's like before I would focus on all the negatives on Twitter, and I've had a few negatives. Man up, you're a pussy. Blah, 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 blah. Just blocking.
Sorry about that.
Yes, I know. I'm just blocking them. Just blocking them straight away. Not even considering it. I'm just blocking them. Anyone that says anything that I don't like, I'm just blocking, and I'm fine with that. And I'm making more. I'm not making more effort when I'm with my children. My phone is off. All of this kind of stuff. It's I didn't miss it one little bit, and the world didn't explode and no one died.
Well, there were a few people that did die. You had to learn when you came.
Some people died, but not as a direct result of me not having a phone.
And there must have been a shock, too, grabbing your phone and going through, and not just the notifications and all the tweets and all that, but just that kind of getting plugged right back into it and getting that feeling, the anxiety of checking things and all that all the time. It must have just been odd.
Oh, it was bliss, mate. It was bliss. And it's what life should be, you know. And I'm not going to say I was on a journey or anything, because I wasn't. I was on a game show. But that was a great... I mean, it's boring in there. This is the thing they don't show you. It's swathed. You wanted to go out for a trial because it meant you had 2 or 3 hours outside of the camp talking to other people, not that they would talk back to you, and doing something. You get stimulated. For the most part, it was boring. I would have 2, sometimes 3 naps a day because it was so boring, man.
This kind of sounds really blissful. I kind of want that life now, actually. I wonder if there's a way to make that happen. Make that happen outside in the real life just without having to do all the weird crap and all that you had to do.
That's the thing. You've got to drink an ostrich's anus and a kangaroo's penis. That's the price. I didn't mind the drinking ones. The drinking ones were right.
Toph was hilarious because she said, these are really badly blended. Like, she wanted to see the manager.
Oh, God. It was a strange old experience it was. Matt, thank you for that, mate.
Thank you, buddy.
Cheers, my dears. Ta-ta. So that's the first 2 hours of the show down. We've got loads of new listeners. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I suspect people will want to talk about this celebrity for the next couple of days. I'm cool with that, but I'll make sure I've got a few more things on a bit of paper that we can talk about tomorrow. For those that... I get that for some of you, it's not a big deal and you're not interested. From time to time, we get guests on, and we get guests, musicians or actors or writers that we're big fans of, because we're lucky that we can do that. We also get people on kind of the fringes of society that we are interested in. And we got a guy called Marshall Summers coming up after midnight. I'm going to be Skyping him from America. I think you will find his story absolutely fascinating. I'm Ian Lee. This is Talk Radio.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
Fight to make ends meet and keeps a man up on his feet, holding down his job, trying to show he can't be bought. Ooh, it takes every kind of people to make what life's about. Every kind of people to make the world go round. Someone's looking for a lead, and it's duty to a king or to a creed. Protecting what he feels is right, fights against wrong with his life. There is no profit in deceit. Honest men know that revenge does not take.
Let's just say, Knowles, having your launch when I was away, you got off lightly, buddy. Someone, a couple of people, sent me on Facebook, Daily Mirror Online. Nick Knowles shocks Lorraine viewers by singing like a drunk man on live TV.
I missed that.
Do you want to... we'll go to... Marshall, I know you're listening, Marshall. I'll come to you in a second, mate. I'm
meanwhile,
really
up and down the country, lots of drunk men going, not that bad.
No, this is... This really is staggering, right? The headline was, Nick Knowles... where is it? Maybe it's not there. No, I wonder if it's on this clip. Hang on. Oh, what the heck was that? Nick Knowles shocks Lorraine viewers. By the way, Lorraine tweets me now. I think I'm going on there at some point. I know Scott was on there. My sister was on there. Scott Balcony.
Seeing Scott Balcony doing the Richard Madeley pose on the sofa. Two arms over the back. Casual.
So Lorraine's a friend of mine now. So is Nadia from Bake Off. We've been texting each other.
She's going to bake you a cake.
With strawberries.
Just so you know... I want some of that.
Okay. So I'm going to meet her for a coffee in the new year. And she's been texting me. And there was one point where I said the Serenity Prayer on television. And she was so impressed by that, she's put that up in her hall wall. I don't know why it's not in the living room. It's a little bit, that's not for me to say. But so Nadia from Bake Off, isn't that incredible? Lovely messages of support from Chaz and Dave and Gordon the Gopher as well. So it's all...
Dick and Dom.
I love Dick and Dom. They're great. And Mark and Sam as well sent me a little message.
Did they?
Yeah, I like those guys. I've always bigged up those guys. I think I've bigged them up on air. I love those two. I think they're so funny. And anyway, so basically what I'm trying to say is I'm friends with Nadia from Bake Off.
What you're saying is Kath... Chopped liver. Kath is chopped liver. Sorry. She's not got a blue tick. Now I've got some proper friends.
Well, technically it's a white tick. Everyone's got a blue tick now because I saw a load of blue ticks that followed me and I looked at them and went, nah. So you should be absolutely gutted.
I am.
Good. Right. So. Change the pace a little bit here, and we do this from time to time. We get a guest, and don't forget, I should have said right at the start of the show, and we had nearly 2,000 people on Periscope podcast. We do a daily podcast where it's like a kind of half hour best of, and we'll quite probably put a guest out as a podcast as well. iTunes, usual places. So I can't remember how I stumbled down this rabbit hole, but I was kind of looking at stuff online as one does, and following a link, and I came across this guy, Marshall Vian Summers. And his story was, we'll get clarification on it in a minute, that he had he'd heard voices that had summoned him to the desert, and eventually he was given a narrative that he turned into a book. I think he's written about 15, 16 books. And his claim is that he is receiving messages from aliens telling us that there are aliens amongst us and that we are going to destroy this planet with environmental issues, all kinds of stuff. And I saw this and thought, well, this sounds like a jolly old wheeze. This is a good old fashioned, the late night kind of trope. Let's get this guy on and have a laugh. And I couldn't persuade Marshall to come on, but his son came on, Reed. And I was thinking, right, here we go. Let's have some fun poking this bear. And we couldn't, could we, Kath? Because he was so charming. And I don't, charming is often used as an insult. And it's not at all. He was so charming and so didn't sound like what we would have called in the 70s a loony. He put forward the story of his dad and his own story, his own involvement with it, in a very concise, measured and rational way. And the whole message that was being shared, it made sense to me. OK, one could possibly argue that the way the message was received was, you know, the voices in the desert. OK, but if you put that to one side, I found most of what he said made absolute perfect sense. And Reed really enjoyed it. And we've been tweeting back and forth. And I'm so thrilled because he's persuaded his dad to come on, which is great. So I'm going to Skype Marshall now. When I remember how to do Skype. Ah, here we go. So this should work. Who knows? So I've got my... Aha. Hello, Marshall.
Ian.
Hey, and I can see you, man. Look at you. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
I'm so pleased we get to talk. Excuse me. I've just had a chocolate and it's made me go a little bit clarty. Thank you so much for coming on, man. Whereabouts are you in the States?
We're in Boulder, Colorado.
Now, I've never been to Boulder, Colorado. What's it like?
Well, we're at the foot of the Rocky Mountains. Oh. We're right where the Great Plains ends and the Rocky Mountains begin.
Now, that's supposed to be the only... All I know about the Rocky Mountains, Kathy, what would I know about the Rocky Mountains? John Denver, Colorado.
Oh, of course.
Colorado, Rocky Mountain High. Is it as is it as stunning as we're led to believe?
It is quite stunning up in the mountains, yes. Yeah. And from where we can see things, it is very beautiful.
Marshall, it's so nice to talk to you. I've got to say, your boy, Reed, he's a brilliant ambassador for you, because I don't know if you heard what you were just saying, but we expected him to come on, and we were all going to have a jolly old laugh and poke fun at this ridiculous story. And he was brilliant. Everything he said made sense. His message was lucid and was clear, and it was very, very positive. Do you mind if we just tread over some of the ground that we covered with Reed before we get to the message? Would that be okay?
Certainly, yes.
What were you doing? What was your life like before you first, you know, heard a voice? What were you doing?
Well, when I finished the university, I began teaching blind adolescent young boys and girls life's living skills so they could live independently.
Yeah.
And I was really offered a pathway to make that my full-time career. But during my time there, I began to hear a voice instructing me how to work with these young people, who many of whom had multiple disabilities. And I was alone with them, and it was up to me to decide how things were to be done. I had to improvise constantly in this work, so I would begin to get messages from inside myself telling me, try this, or do this, or don't do that. And it intrigued me.
Sorry to interrupt.
But this isn't me talking to myself, so I mean, it really intrigued me at that time, and it really helped me in a very practical way.
Marshall,
very, very practical.
Sorry to interrupt. Could that not be argued that that was instinct, your natural instinct? Because we all have things where I do stuff and go, no, that was wrong, shouldn't have done that, or maybe I should go and say, could that not? Did you not consider that that was just your natural instinct telling you what to do?
Well. Certainly, but I didn't have a natural instinct to teach blind children, so it was something, skills I had to learn, and I had to learn most of it while I was working with them. But you're right, we do have innate intelligence within us, and we're going to be talking about that, hopefully, in our time together,
yeah.
Which is a much bigger thing than most people realize, and far more significant.
I have to ask the question, because some people are wondering, did you at any point... worry that you were perhaps mentally ill when you're hearing voices in your head? Did you go and check it out with a doctor or anything?
No, well, I didn't. But by the time I actually heard the voice really powerfully, it had been instructing me in many, many ways. And I was already at a point of teaching inner guidance to other people, having realized how important it was for their development and to bring their lives into balance and to set a clear direction coming from within them, because I'm not going to tell them how to live. So, but we have within us a deeper intelligence, a deeper mind. And we talk about instinct, some of that instinct comes from this deeper mind. But it's a much bigger thing than people realize, even beyond intuition as we normally think of it.
If I've got this wrong, you'll tell me, when did you get the voice saying you need to go out in the desert because you're going to get something big?
Well, in 1981, I had an epiphany, and I described that as an encounter with a force so powerful that it almost blew my life apart. In fact, in ways it did blow my life apart, even though I'm not speaking physically here.
Yeah.
But everything changed for me after this, and this was an initiation experience that I had. And it was following that I had to leave all my students, my relationship, everything, and wander for 9 months. And that wandering brought me to the desert of the American Southwest, where this presence came again, though not quite so powerfully, and said, return to the city and begin to record. And within 3 months, I was back in the city, beginning to record the end of January of 1982. And that was the very, very beginning of the transmission of the new revelation from God.
And what did your friends and your family say when you came back and said, guys, forget the teaching, forget the helping the children with learning difficulties, I'm getting messages from God and I'm going to write these books. But there must have been some of your friends, Marshall, that went, oh, come on, dude, you've been smoking too much.
Well, I didn't tell many people, to tell you the truth.
Right.
And it's a good thing. You don't want to talk about such things when it's still very formative in your own experience. I mean, I always get disturbed when I see people, you know, having coffee together talking about their spiritual experiences, which I think really is unwise to do that, because you have something that's trying to grow and emerge within you, and that was certainly the case with me at that time. But I was very careful. I'm a very careful person, and I put it to the test. You know, you have to put these things to the test in your own life. I don't want to get other people's reactions and opinions. They don't need to know.
Mm.
In this formative time, I had to put my life to the test. If this was going to give me clarity and a sense of purpose and it's going to work, I will follow it.
Mm.
And I took these steps, some of which I did not understand in the moment, because this is not a rational process. You know, our rationality is only a thin veneer of coping ability dealing with an uncertain world. Beneath that, we are made of something very different. And that was being really stimulated within me. And I think that many of your listeners have perhaps experienced this in their own lives, certainly getting messages to do things or not to do things, but also that, you know, we're a lot bigger than we appear to be, even to ourselves.
What do you mean by that? We're bigger than we appear to be?
Well, we're not just a social product. I mean, we're not just a product of culture and family and myriad overwhelming influences. We have an eternal nature within us that is living within us now. And we call that knowledge. That's how the new message refers to this deeper intelligence, deeper reality within us.
Yeah.
And I was very much engaged with that process. And certainly whatever I was hearing that was directing me in these practical ways was beginning to stimulate this deeper sense of myself. And that was part of its purpose.
All right. Who was it then that was speaking to you? Was it one person in inverted commas, or were there loads of different people? Who was it?
Well, there were only three at the beginning, and I will not mention their names because that's not important. No one you would know. No one anyone in the world would know. But I've spoken to help prepare me to live a different kind of life and to take on a greater responsibility. And it began very mysteriously, which is often given, these directives are given without explanation. And I had to, within myself, determine if I was going to follow that or not.
Yeah.
This is the knowledge part, okay?
Yeah.
We get directives from heaven that can happen, but the most important thing is how we respond, because we have to take responsibility for our own existence. We have to make our own decisions. We have to face the consequences of those decisions. And so the power of that directive from heaven is to build this strength within us, this power of knowledge. It lives beneath our intellect. It's bigger than our intellect. And we already experience it in many, many little ways in life itself. But when it begins to emerge within you, it's something very powerful and very important, not to be underestimated.
Listen, we're going to take a break. Marshall, stay there. We'll come back to you in a second. We're talking to Marshall Summers. I find it fascinating, Kath. And it's weird because I can see him. He's on Skype. And I think they're watching us on Periscope, and they're streaming it on their website, which is great. Thank you very much indeed. And I'm going to use a word which many might perceive as an insult, but I don't mean it. He looks normal, whatever that means. It's kind of a meaningless word, but, he's just... Do you know what I mean? This is what we said last time. We were looking for the con.
Yeah.
We were looking for the con. And
we were waiting for the bit where it departed from reality.
Yeah. And also the send us your $100 now. And then we looked on the website. We couldn't find it. And then someone sent me a link to their website where they do ask for donations. But they ask for donations. It's not a you must buy this book to you must pay $500 to be part of this fellowship. It's, hey, we could really do with some cash. And if you've got some spare cash and you believe in our message, then this is how you can send us a few bucks, which loads of people do. Loads of organisations do. There's no harm in that. You can still be included with us even if you can't afford to send us any money. So still haven't found the con. And do you know why? Because I don't think there is one. I don't think there is one. I find the fascinating about this is there is Reed and Marshall, who we're speaking to now, just the belief. In the same way that Christians believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, and in the same way that some Christians believe that Jesus Christ will come back, in the way that Muslims believe whatever they believe, and Jews believe whatever they, but they believe it. It's fact to them because they believe it. And the same with these guys. They believe it. And this story to me is as plausible as Jesus being the Son of God, dying, being reborn, and then potentially coming back. And, you know, to me, it has exactly the same merit. It's just got less people saying it. Do you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean.
I'm loving this. We'll be speaking to Marshall till 1 o'clock if he's good enough to keep us company. So I'm not even going to give out the phone number. It'll be pointless. This is the Late Night Alternative. I'm Ian Lee. That's Catherine Boyle. We're on Talk Radio.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We'll get you talking.
Good evening, dear listener. New listeners everywhere, which is great. One of honestly, there were two reasons. There were three reasons I did the jungle. One is because, do you know what? At this time in my life, I could really do with a big fat check, and I'm not making any bones about it. And people have said, you shouldn't say that. It's absolutely true, you know. The second reason is that I wanted my kids to see Daddy being silly on TV, because they obviously weren't around when I used to be silly on TV 20 years ago, and I just wanted them to have, you know, my TV career I'd written off. I just wanted them to have to see me being silly on TV. And what's sillier than you know, putting on goggles and climbing 100 feet in the air, and you know, and they loved it, and so that worked. And the other reason was because I love this show so much. This is my favourite show I've ever done, the Late Night Alternative, and we do all right with listeners. We get about 60,000 listeners, which is great for a station on DAB, but I think we deserve more. I genuinely think we deserve more. And I think next year, News Corp are really going to start advertising, really start pushing it, which is great. But I wanted to stand in front of 12 million people and say, I've got a radio show. And so I think some of you will like it. So, I know that's paid off, because we've had so many people on Periscope, so many new callers, and I've had so many tweets tonight. I've not been able to see all of them. Because now when I get tweets, I'll get like 500. But so many people going, oh, Ian's show is even better than I expected to
be. Oh, good.
Or I'm so glad that I found this show now. So it's worked. It's worked. And the show is all over the place. We'll have silly calls. We'll have silly songs. We'll mess around. We'll do nonsense. We'll do serious stuff.
But purposefully for
the show. Yeah. Oh, yeah. We'll do serious stuff. And also we'll get guests on. And we quite often get music guests. We normally just flick through our record collection and go, I wonder if John Sebastian from The Love and Spoonful will come on. Yes.
He did.
And we also get people on. For me, radio is all about stories. It's about stories. And that story can be that you you crashed your car today, or it can be that the world's going to end, and everything in between. And so, you know, kind of Marshall that we've got on now, it's not kind of the usual guest that we have on, but I just think the story is so fascinating, whether you believe it, whether you don't. That's not even the issue for me. It's the story. And we've got, there you go, I'm struggling with my computer. We've got Marshall Summers on. Marshall, it's good to talk to you. Thank you, mate, for sticking around through those adverts. I don't know if you heard what Kath and I were saying before we went to the break, that when Reed came on, I'd taken your website apart with a fine tooth comb, and I was looking for the con. I was looking for to be part of our organisation, you need to send us $500 and you'll get to heaven quicker and all of that. And there isn't, apart from you selling books and apart from the donation page, which is legitimate. Why are you doing this?
Well, I'm doing this because over a 35-year period, I've been given a magnificent message for the world that I feel, and from my own experience and from my understanding of this, which has grown in time, that this will answer some of the biggest questions of life.
Yep.
About who we are, why we're here, what is happening in the world, and where we're all going together. Because we're all going somewhere together, as if we were standing on a moving sidewalk. We could be arguing with each other. We could have any point of view. We could believe in anything we want to believe in, but we're going somewhere together. And that's really important. It's important for us, important for our children. We see a world that's ever more fractured, torn asunder. We see nations being divided internally. We have craft flying in our sky without explanation, without invitation. We see, you know, war talk going on, saber rattling, everything in this world. And it doesn't make sense, and we don't make sense within it. But at a deeper level, we do start to make sense.
Yeah.
And what we were talking about before your break, this thing about having a deeper intelligence within us, something that's beyond intuition, is really what anchors us, because it's the only part of us that cannot be manipulated. It's the only part of us that cannot be corrupted, even by ourselves.
Mm.
You know, truth and lies begin with what we tell ourselves. So we're the worst at corruption sometimes within ourselves. But there's something within us that's really important, and it's our ground of being, and it's our divining rod. And, you know, everybody experiences it sometimes or at times. And it can make all the difference in the decisions we make, whether we go down a fruitful path or we go down a path of self-destruction. You know, everything we do is based around decisions, and we base those decisions on either this deeper intelligence within us or upon, you know, our own preferences or the persuasions of others.
You say the persuasions. Like, well, I've done a really silly TV show over here recently, Marshall, where basically I lived in the jungle for 3 weeks, and so for 4 weeks I didn't have phones or computers. And everything is so noisy. Everything is so noisy. Even if you're, you know, once I came out of the jungle, just seeing posters and billboards and TVs and radios and clothes and cameras and... there is so much noise around us. Having that month of not having electronic communications and not having, you know, not checking Twitter and not... and that was a month, right? That was a month. That was 4 weeks. I just felt everything subsiding. And I felt calmer. I felt more at peace. And I certainly felt more focused. There are so many distractions in the world, aren't there?
Yes, truly. And, you know, all that stimulation keeps us up at the surface of our minds.
Yeah.
And which is very turbulent. It's like the surface of the ocean. If you were to observe this from the side of a ship, it's always turbulent.
Yeah.
Doesn't make any sense. It's blowing this way. It's blowing that way. One day calm, one day turbulent. But what we don't see from the side of the ship is that water is actually moving around the globe, circumnavigating the globe, powered by celestial powers, the gravity of the moon, for example. So we live at the surface in a very turbulent state, and our world reflects that. But deep down within us, it is a much more quiet state. And I'm so glad you had this experience of being away from the technological electronic world, because it's almost like you have a chance to reconnect with yourself at a more fundamental level.
Oh, completely. We'll go back on something you said. You listed, you know, the things that are going wrong with the world. And, you know, the world, I've got kids and they're babies. And the world is a terrifying place with terrorism and wars and corruption in politics, all this kind of stuff. And in that list you made, and I'm nodding there going, yeah, you mentioned craft that are flying in the skies. What did you mean by that?
I meant we're experiencing a visitation and an intervention by races from beyond the world, physical races, not interdimensional beings, not angels, not demons, but other races who are here looking for resources, looking for opportunity. They are the opportunists, and they're entering a very dangerous time for humanity where we're very vulnerable to persuasion, because that is their tool, that is their power. And this is part of the phenomenon of our life in the world today, that has been growing in prominence ever since the Second World War. And it's something that governments keep secret. In fact, some of those secrets come out, as happened recently in the United States. And we can all feel this at some level. You know, the sense that we're being watched, the sense that things aren't right in the world, the sense that some things just don't feel right, and we can't put our finger on it. It's not necessarily politics or the usual kinds of arenas of human corruption or deception. There's things going on in the world that affect us at a deeper level. Sometimes we become depressed and it has nothing to do with us. Sometimes we become highly anxious. It may not have anything to do with us. So, because at some level, a deeper level, we are tuned in to this larger environment of life that we live in. You know, we're not just social products, as I mentioned before. I mean, we are spiritual beings that have an eternal foundation. And our whole experience of being in the world has been shaped by the world. But that only represents a small part of us. So this is going to be very important if when we have an opportunity to talk about the two greatest challenges facing humanity, because this knowledge that lives within us is the missing piece that will make the difference between whether we see, know, and take action or not.
Okay, go on then.
And that's why it is so important.
Go on then. Give us the two greatest challenges.
Well, I will tell you why the new message has been given.
Yeah.
Something that I didn't know at the beginning. In fact, I was really kept in the dark for a long time while this thing slowly came into being. And I will say, because I think this is important, that I was being tested during those early years.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, I was held back for 20 years from going on the media with this.
By whom? By the voice, the voices?
Yes, yes. Was not ready. I was not ready.
In what way not ready? What, you would, because I'm sure you've had a battery.
I didn't have the depth of understanding.
Right.
The new message had not been revealed fully to me. I was still in formation to be its messenger. I had to set aside personal distractions considerably. I had to establish a practical foundation for my life, a lot of work. And beginning to receive this and to publish its books took a very long time. And all the message hasn't even been given yet. So it's that big because of the great challenges facing humanity. So the new message has been given for four reasons, fundamentally. Mm-hmm. It's been given first because we're entering a new world reality, a world of declining resources, a world of disruptive climate and weather, which will increase as we go forward. We're living in a world of greater upheaval and instability, as if we were a growing population drinking from a slowly shrinking well. And the tensions that this creates, the fracturing, the distrust, the unease, the political bickering and divisions, it sends these fracture lines moving in all directions because the ground beneath us is changing. I've asked so many people in my travels around the world, how do you feel about the future? And I would say that 99 out of 100 would say, not good.
Yeah.
Maybe that's all the English they could say, but not good. Or they would shake their head because innately we sense that we're heading into very difficult times, which is the truth. Okay, let's not give ourselves happy talk and think that, you know, this is all going to be fine and worked out, or that God is going to intervene and make everything right for us, because we're the ones sent here to the world to make things right.
Mm.
And if we can't get the job done, then we have to face the consequences. So we're entering a new world reality. We call that the great waves of change. Political change, environmental change, economic change. The feeling of turbulence is there. The second big reality is contact with intelligent life in the universe.
Yeah.
Because races from the universe are interfering in our world, acting surreptitiously, here without our permission or consent, setting their own boundaries and rules of contact.
Marshall, let me, because that is where I think you're going to lose a significant number of people. I think everything you've said up to that point, and I'm not saying this is necessarily my opinion, up to that point, everything you've said, people, I think, could pretty much would be nodding along with. But I think some people might start going, hang on. When you say that there, you believe there are aliens, what, living amongst us in human form that are manipulating society?
Well, no, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that they're flying in our skies with impunity. This has happened in the UK. It's happened in America. It's happened in every country in the world. It's been cited by airline pilots, Air Force pilots.
Oh, yeah. I've seen presidents. Stories, yeah.
I mean, this is something, and countless numbers of people, most of whom are afraid to ever talk about it for fear of rejection. So that's a big reality, and that's one of the reasons the new message is here, because we don't know what's happening, and we don't know how to prepare for it.
Mm.
And that puts us at a tremendous disadvantage. So a lot of people are afraid to look at this. I mean, it's very ominous, really.
Well, you say
it's
ominous.
It's going to be the biggest life-changing event in human history.
Are you suggesting that there is going to be some kind of intergalactic war? And by the way, I've seen a UFO. Like, me and my wife saw one, and I kind of buy what you're saying. But are you suggesting there's going to be some war?
No, I'm not suggesting that, because in our region of space, according to the new message, it's revelation about life in the universe. war is suppressed in our region of space because advanced nations have found other ways to influence each other without the use of force. I mean, if you think about this for a minute, it makes total sense because if you want to have control over another's world or resources, you want to preserve as much as you can. You don't want to destroy things. Mm. See, I mean, this is intelligence. We think of life in the universe like our movies, which is a big shooting gallery. That is not life in the universe. So we are dealing with much more refined levels of persuasion and influence. And this is how those who are present in our world are engaging with people in attempting to influence certain individuals in positions of power, in religion, commerce, and government. This is something that's a very behind the scenes, but people are experiencing encounters all over the world with very damaging effects. So what I'm presenting to you has decades and decades of evidence behind it. I'm not a ufologist, but I'm telling you that the revelation is giving us the eyes to see. It's opening the doors to the reality of life in our local universe as nothing else I know of has ever done.
How is getting the message across going? And I tell you why I ask that, because you know, one of the great ways of communicating these days is online, and as much as I hate social media, Twitter is essential for me to say, hey guys, I'm back on the radio tonight after 5 weeks away, and then loads of people come. And I noticed that you were on Twitter. Your personal account has 309 followers. The New Message from God account has 1,164 followers. Now, that says to me, and if I'm wrong, again, you'll correct me, that says to me there ain't that many people listening, Marshall.
Oh, well, we seem to have quite a few people. And, you know, it's interesting because we make our teaching free online. And so people are studying it all over the place, people we don't even know. I mean, we don't even know how many people are studying it. Sometimes people will order books, physical books, which we have to make. But, you know, it's going to be in thousands. You know, we have 230,000 people following us on Facebook. So, you know, what I'm presenting, a lot of people, it's taking time to take in. This is a big thing. I'm not here just to tell you a few things.
No.
To bring a whole new reality, really.
But is it not frustrating? Because I think you've written 15, 16, 17 books, and 230,000 people is a lot. Compared to, I don't even know what it is now, 7.2 billion people, it's a grain of sand, isn't it? Are you not frustrated that you have this message that you believe in so strongly, but people are not quite getting it? Or the numbers that are getting it are small?
Well, bringing something of this magnitude into the world is a long-term project. It will certainly extend beyond my lifetime. It will take many, many years. And what I'm bringing, as I mentioned, is a whole new reality. And, you know, regarding interest in visitation, I think that's very widespread.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We have some students in China who talk about the Chinese interest, for an example, in visitation and extraterrestrial presence in the world, which the government allows and even supports to a certain extent. So we think of people, and one of the things that I've written about is some people really have a greater community or universal life orientation. It's innate within them. It's natural to them.
Yeah.
And I call these greater community people because they have a natural fascination and draw towards the reality of the universe, life in the universe, the possibility of visitation. I'm sure every astronomer in the world would fall into this category, as well as people who have an innate interest in the reality of visitation and question what the alien agenda could possibly be.
Mm. Marshall, listen, we've got to take one more break. When we get back, we've got about another 15 minutes, and I really want you, that 15 minutes is yours, because I want to make sure you get across every 15 minutes. Good. But you get across every, I don't want you to go away and feel that we cheated you. So we'll come back in a couple of minutes. Is that okay?
Okay.
Nice one, man. Thank
sure.
you very much indeed. I keep going to give out the phone number, and I don't want any phone calls, because I'm really enjoying this. Good evening, dear listener. My name is Ian Lee. The show is The Late Night Alternative. You're listening to Talk Radio.
The wild man of late night radio.
The Late Night Alternative with Ian Lee on Talk Radio.
We have ways of making you talk.
I tell you what, it's good to be back. It's so good to be back. And thank you for all the new listeners and all the people that are tweeting and saying they've never listened before, and they will. That's great. We are speaking... Now, which button do I press? That one, there we go. Speaking to Marshall Summers from Colorado. Marshall, before we go, give us the website. Let's get the website so if people want to go and have a little look themselves. Where do they go?
Certainly, newmessage.org is the website. And you can search greater community. You can search relationships and higher purpose. You can search the great ways of change. You can search higher purpose, steps to knowledge. All of these great resources are there, available to people around the world to read free of charge. I want people to have this information. It's so important. And certainly, given what we talked about this evening, before you come to any conclusions about visitation to our world or why they're here or who they are, I really recommend that you read the Allies of Humanity briefings, something we didn't have time to talk about very much tonight.
Yeah.
And that's free online, too, at alliesofhumanity.org. We are a nonprofit organization. We attempt to make all this available as free as possible, and people donate and help us to do that. So that's the nature of our work. I think everyone is facing and feeling the difficulties of this day and the days to come. And what I want to say is that God has given us a powerful intelligence. It's not our intellect alone, because our intellect alone is really a servant. It either serves the world or serves other people or serves something within us that's really connected to a higher source. And that power can guide you, help you, hold you back at times of decision, give you clarity and meaning. And that is a central part of the whole New Message teaching, because if we don't have this knowledge, we're living haphazard lives. We're going from thing to thing. We have no real sense of purpose. We're living at the surface. We're overwhelmed with the world around us, overstimulated. And yet there's something in each one of you that has a direction and a purpose for being here. And we can't figure it out. We have to experience it. It is an experience. And it's this experience that I really encourage and support. And I hope that people who receive the New Message and can learn from it can begin to feel, you know, the whole pathway to developing this connection between our worldly mind and this deeper intelligence is presented in the book Steps to Knowledge, which is also free online to read. It provides in a step-by-step manner ways to begin to engage with this deeper intelligence in the simplest, most practical ways, in ways that are most natural to who we are as individuals. This, you know, I couldn't speak of all these things if there was no solution, if there was no pathway, if we're just facing something huge and overwhelming and there's nothing we can do. No. Really, the ball is in our court in terms of preparing for the great ways of change, for our encounter with intelligent life, which for the first time, I believe, is being presented to us in the clearest possible terms, in a way that can be translated easily and is being translated now in 27 different languages. We have 51 translators at work making this available to people in all countries and free of charge. And a lot of our work is just providing this resource as far and as wide as we possibly can. We have many readers in the UK, and we bless and honor them. And I'm glad that I have an opportunity to speak to your audience tonight. I know they are feeling many of the things that I might have touched upon and that you certainly do touch upon in your program. But we have to think big now. We have to think about the world, because the world is going to shape what's going to be available to us as individuals. We all have the eyes to see and the ears to hear, but yeah. We need more of that jungle experience that you had to open up those senses to something bigger going on.
Oh, mate, totally. And, you know, mine was a tiny thing, and it was not, you know, I lived in the jungle, but it wasn't real, and it was a TV show. But even that brief experience has changed my perspective. I think it may have been you, Kath. Someone asked me, what are you going to take out of the jungle? And I said, perspective. I just got perspective on my life, on my relationships, on the people I want to spend time with, the people I don't want to spend time with, on technology, on my job. I got perspective. And that was, you know, a few weeks doing a silly TV program without phones. So what, we've got literally 10 minutes. What do we do then? Obviously, we can go and read the books and we can look at the stuff online. But what is it we need to do to get in touch with this message and receive it ourselves and, you know, make the world a better place?
Well, the New Message really is pointing us to a big evolutionary shift for humanity. And this encounter with intelligent life in the universe is probably the biggest event that can have the real promise of uniting a fractured humanity out of necessity. It will force us to do this, just like climate change will force us over time through great, perhaps, suffering if we delay. It's going to force us to deal with something bigger than ourselves that involves all of us and our well-being and our future. The new message provides numerous tools for how to focus, how to manage your own mind, your feelings, your emotions in such a way that you stay connected to this deeper intelligence within you, and a way to experience that, how that expresses itself through you as an individual. But this is all being driven by necessity now. This is not just a pastime or a hobby or a pleasure for somebody who has lots of time on their hands. This is something we have a need to know, where we're going and what's going on around us. And we have to be very sober about that. You know, this is not an adventure in consciousness I'm talking about. This is something that has to do with our fundamental survivability as individuals. We're living in an environment of ever-increasing manipulation and surveillance. How are we going to protect our inner selves from that? That part of us that cannot be manipulated, that is so important if we're to be able to have a clear mind and be able to see where we need to go with real clarity and authority.
You sound optimistic. You said yourself that if you thought it was game over, there'd be no point in you doing this. Do you genuinely think, you know, in your world belief of all these potential things that are going to happen, do you genuinely think that it's going to be all right?
Oh, well, I will say this. If it looks like it was game over, there'd be no new message from God. It would be game over.
Right.
And we are just going to sink progressively into a mire of poverty and deprivation and conflict. The thing is that when you have a gift to give to the world, everyone has some kind of gift to give to the world, you do it anyway. You don't just do it when you get promised the reward or it's going to work. And, you know, you're promised, there's no promise of success in life. You do it anyway. If it's the good thing to do, if it's the real thing to do, you do it anyway. I'm going to do this anyway. Don't tell me the odds. I know it looks terrible. I know a lot of people are going to suffer. A lot of people are going to crash in the years to come because we're not ready for even where we are today. You know, it's going to have huge impacts. Look what's happened, you know, in the Gulf storms. Look what's happened in the fires in California. These fires are going on in Spain, in Portugal. They're going on in Eastern Europe. I mean, Russia. This is happening everywhere. People are suffering from this. This is not some kind of conspiracy theory. This is man versus nature right now. This is the big confrontation, is man versus nature and man versus life in the universe. These are the two big confrontations. And we have to be willing to look at these things. If we're going to want to be blind and stay in our little world and not be troubled, we're going to be victims of change, not the beneficiaries of change. And this is really, I want to empower people to have this courage and this strength and determination. I have to call it up within myself. I mean, I get very discouraged looking at the world. You know, I feel the tragedy of things. I feel the suffering of things. And yet, I'm going to do this anyway. Because that's the only way that something of this nature is ever going to happen. You know, we are designed to do something important for the world, and yet most people are so impoverished they'll never have a chance to do this. Impoverished by religious oppression, political oppression, economic oppression. But for those people who have the chance, it is so important for each of us who has a chance. And that is why our service is needed in the world, even if it's in a very small place, nothing grandiose here, no avatars, no saviors. This is everybody doing good where they can. That will make a difference. Otherwise, we are in a downward spiral.
And I should say, and I should have said this earlier, right at the start, and I forgot to, that when you talk of God, this isn't like a Judeo-Christian God. This isn't an Islamic. This isn't, you know, this is more of a, I'll do it and you can just kind of nudge me in the right direction. This is a universal higher power type God, isn't it?
This is the God of the entire universe.
There we go.
This is the God of a billion, billion, billion races and more.
Wow.
A non-human universe. This is what the new message has to bring us up to date in our understanding about God. Otherwise, we're not living, 1,600 years ago. We're not living 2,000 years ago. We're living in a modern world that requires us to be engaged with it, to be engaged, and not to run away and hide and live a delusional or fantasy-prone life. The God force within us is expressed through this deeper knowledge that I'm speaking of. It's our God connection. And it's presented in the simplest non-theological way you can imagine, because it's part of our experience already. We just don't know about it. We don't pay attention to it. We dismiss it out of hand often. We don't realize that something in us is trying to help us individually. And if people can begin to work with that on their own self-study, I'm not there to hold their hand or guide them. I'm giving them the tools, free, take it, work with it, use it. Your life is important. Don't let anyone convince you otherwise. But its importance has to be found within you for a greater good.
That is a great line. That's a great line to end on, isn't it? Your importance is... Marshall, it's such a joy talking to you. I'm so glad we got to speak. We'll get you on again. I'm going to ask you a personal question I wouldn't normally ask people. Are you really 68 years old?
I am 68 years old.
Dude, you're looking fantastic. You need to sell that as well. That's where your money is. You're looking great. Hey, listen, man, it's so nice to talk to you and pass on our best to Reed as well.
I certainly will, and thank you for your gracious having me on your show.
Absolute pleasure, dude. We'll get you back again. Thank you, Marshall. Take care, mate.
Okay. Bye-bye. Take care. Bye-bye.
I can see where some of the audience would go off in a different direction when he talks about aliens and things like that. I have actually seen a UFO. I genuinely have. I'm convinced it was something from another planet. I'm convinced. So I kind of buy into that a bit more.
While you've been in the jungle, they've spotted something out in space that they can't explain.
No, they've explained it. I heard it on PM today.
Oh, really?
It's from another planet, but it's not a spaceship. It's the size of the size and the shape of the gherkin.
It's like a big building. Sausage.
Yeah, it passed by the sun, but it's not. It's like rock. Sorry to poo-poo that. I heard it on PM and stuff.
I wish you'd stop listening to PM.
I know, that's where I get all my facts from.
It messes with my whimsy.
That's where I get all my facts from. And I can see some people parting company with Marshall when he talks about the UFOs and things like that. But, we've all got a gift. And we do it regardless of whether we share it regardless whether we're going to get reward or not. Flipping heck. That's a motto to live your life by, isn't it? Oh, that blew me away, that line. I love that. I love him. We'll get him on again. I'm quite happy to cultivate a little friendship and relationship with those guys. Partly because they're so polite. They're just so polite. Vinny. Good evening, Vinny.
Right. I want to ask you a question.
Okie doke.
Did you watch I'm a Celebrity this year?
I didn't watch it this year. No, I thought the lineup was shit.
Okay. All right.
Thanks for calling, Vinny. Do you know what we had? Here we go, fact fans. Loads of rules. And one of the rules, apparently, is in my contract. I didn't read the whole contract. But can I have that time out? Can I have the out time on the screen again, please? One of the rules that they flagged up to me was, obviously, you're not allowed to use racist or homophobic or, violent language. You're not allowed to invade other people's spaces.
You're not allowed to play with your privates.
You're not allowed to masturbate. You are not allowed to masturbate, otherwise you could be evicted from the jungle. I didn't get kicked out.
Oh!
I didn't. But of course, in the Sun tomorrow, it'll be Ian Lee confesses to knocking one out in jungle.
What they thought was you straining in the dunny. Was you straining in the dunny?
It was, yeah, you're not allowed to do that. It was such a weird experience. I'm so glad it's over. I'm glad I did it. And it looks like the punt has paid off. Tomorrow, remind me to talk. We won't do the Celebrity All Week, I promise. I'll bring in a load of stuff that we can talk about. If you want to ask questions, more than happy to answer them. But I realise that for some people, it's a bit of a bore. And I do know that we had 60,000 loyal listeners before I went in the jungle. And I don't want to alienate those guys, because they've been through the tough times and the good times. But just one thing I do want to share is some of the stuff that goes on that you don't see on camera. So remind me to tell you about blankets over, towels over there. Heads, because that was one of the weirdest parts of it, and you never got to see that. Listen, thank you so much, new listeners, old listeners, yeah, whatever, people have just dropped in. I've been Ian Lee, that's been Catherine Boyle. Back tomorrow at 10. This is Talk Radio.